B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station. We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like the sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly with Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. Our competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in the drive time slot. It's kinda hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like the opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Oh, good afternoon, everybody. Well, let's catch up. Sixers win. Embiid does it again. We're seeing greatness in our midst. I don't know if we're taking that much inventory of it, but it happened again last night. I know it was a bad team. I get it. But this dude. And Tobias. How about Tobias last night? How about that? Yes. All right. So that's one thing that happened today. Brandon Brooks retired, and last night, on the heels of the Sixers winning, the Flyers lost their 13th straight game. And today, in a press conference, I guess he's considered the owner, Dave Scott, or you know, the chief guy.
Yeah, he's the guy.
He's the guy, and Chuck Fletcher, general manager, came out and tried to explain their way through this whole thing and fell on their face miserably, frankly. I know Flyer fans don't often comment. You've been kind of in the weeds, in the closet. I hope that everybody tuned in who's a Flyer fan who's invested in this team. I know a lot of people have been turned away from this team. But you heard utter nonsense. Now, I get it that they're trying to present this situation in the best possible light. But you can't look ridiculous. You can't say things like, we have a good core and we're a couple players away. You can't say, oh, well, injuries and COVID have hurt us. You can't do that. You just can't say that, well, when Coots gets back, I mean, what are we, idiots? We're not idiots here. We see the team is bereft of skill and talented players. And you can yell and scream about the Cam York that you drafted all you want. The bottom line is, and Dave Scott does, well, he seems oblivious to it. Either that he's not savvy enough. Chuck Fletcher should not be the general manager anymore. This is an epic collapse, an embarrassment that makes the Flyers a proud franchise, one of the worst franchises in the league, which is hard to do. I mean, they're at the bottom. They are rock bottom. So how do you justify keeping this general manager? He didn't do a good enough job in 3 years. Under his stewardship, and I don't care if you want to go back to Hextall or not, under his stewardship, they are at the lowest ebb in franchise history. Now, how do you sit there as the owner of the team with the general manager and try to explain it away by saying, you know, we're close? It's a downright embarrassment to the people who follow sports in this city. So, people are saying, well, Mike, how would you have conducted the problem? I don't know how I would have done it, but I certainly wouldn't have hidden behind the nonsense excuses that they threw out there. They don't have a core. They don't have anything going for them right now. There's nothing you can look at and say, that's promising. So you can't explain it to your fan base like it is promising. The general manager should no longer be the general manager. And I hate to get up here and tell guys they shouldn't have their job, but it's been 3 years with this guy, and they're rock bottom. They have gone on a steady downward decline. So you want to parade him in front of the fan base and say you trust him? He doesn't have a good enough track record for you to say you trust him to rebuild it. I'm flabbergasted, to be honest with you. And I know a lot of people, I don't care about the Flyers at this particular point, but I really would like to talk to the people who listen to that and get your impressions of what you heard on that. They've sloughed this off like it's no big deal. Did I miss something?
You didn't. In fact, I guess everybody can hear this because you just said, you made a bold statement saying that you believe that he should no longer be the GM. And here's what his boss, the guy in charge, had to say about that.
Go ahead.
You know, Chuck's my guy, and we're trying to build around that, trying to strengthen his front office team as much as we can, and made a lot of positive changes that way. So I'm excited about that. I feel like I'm personally surrounded by great hockey people. You know, we've got our four advisors. I've got Chuck. I've got his staff, Brent Flair. I mean, we've got a deep bench of talent, you know, on the hockey ops side. So I don't feel like I'm not lacking anything.
If you feel you're surrounded by great hockey people, then somebody's got a blindfold on you. How do you make that statement when your team has hit rock bottom? You're surrounded by great hockey people who have made that much of a difference that you suck? Are you kidding me? I'm apoplectic. Well, I really am. I just can't get over it.
Well, you shouldn't be. No, you shouldn't be. And here's the problem. Unfortunately, it always goes back to the top. And they've lost 13 in a row. So here's the time to get in front of it and speak. And what they could have said was, we're doing well enough. We're going to do better going forward. Things are not going the way they're supposed to. There's a way, without necessarily naming any names, you can still say that. Instead, they decided to tell Flyers fans that they're idiots. Like, they treat them like idiots and just tell them, hey, everything's just great. Everything's swell. What are you guys talking about? We got great hockey people. We got great players. Hey, people aren't coming to the game. That's clearly only because of COVID rules. It's not because of us. Nothing is wrong. They came out this day to tell us after 13 straight losses that we're damn fools and nothing's wrong.
Listen, it's really up to this hardcore fan base that are Flyer fans. If you're going to just sit there and take that, I mean, I know that a lot of people are not showing up, and that's how you express your displeasure, and that's good. But see, they're in, Flyer management, I've always thought, and it seems to continue. They always think they're safe from any ramifications at all. Like, they have some kind of immunity, and they go merrily along. Like, this guy, Scott, appears to be oblivious to what the reality is. And he evoked the opinions of the old-timers. And this is, like, I've been screaming about this for years, right? Chuck Fletcher is a Bobby Clark-endorsed guy. Bobby Clark is still involved in the organization. Dave Scott cowers with idol worship, just like Snyder did, with idol worship of old Flyers and the old Flyer mindset. And instead of breaking through and going down some new path, they're self-perpetuating failure.
Well, I don't know. No, they're not. They're going to be good really soon. Hear what he said about it. It's not going to take long.
Let me just add, too. I don't really see this as being a 3-4-5-year rebuild at all. I don't think Chuck does either. We have a pretty good core. I think it really starts with a healthy Coots and Hayes, Farabee. Would love to have Ellis back. We've got a core group to build.
Listen, I like Sean Couturier too. He's just no more than a solid player. He's not a star caliber player. Hayes at have you seen hockey players when they get to a certain age? They just that's it. That's all. Ellis, who gets hurt all the time, is in the same thing. Farabee's
a young player, but that's it.
He is a nice guy, and that's about it. All they had. Like, they went with Konechny today, and Fletcher went and praised Konechny. Yeah, well, Konechny had some kind of promise. I don't see it as much anymore. I mean, these guys are kidding themselves, man.
Yeah, and Fletcher said some of the right things, saying sorry and stuff like that, but the person at the tippy top, that's the person that decides to eat it. That guy's not sorry. Fletcher might be sorry. Scott said, well, sorry. Got a great core. The only reason people aren't going is because of COVID. I got great minds in the organization. Everything's perfect. Why did he bother to speak? He should have just kept his butt home. Why speak if you're going to say that? Just stay home.
Chuck's my guy. That guy who's running your organization has influenced this organization to be among the worst in the league and a running joke for losing 10 games one stretch and 13 the other. Chuck's your guy? Well, what are you kidding me? Like, what? How do you sit there and say, Chuck's my guy? You witnessed 13 straight losses, and before that, 10 straight losses. Why is he your guy? Come on, man. I maybe see things differently than most people, but my God, results speak for themselves. And if the guy you've hired to run this organization hasn't had enough influence to bring this team out of the dregs of the dreck, then how is he your guy? God, Lord, make people accountable here. You made a coach accountable. The guy that's building the team has been nothing but going downhill. And he doesn't have enough clout in this league to say you're going to trust him. All right, I've said my piece. I don't know what else to say. I really don't. Flyer fans don't engage, so I, you know, whatever. And maybe they didn't hear it today. Maybe they were at work. But we'll play some highlights of this thing, and it's just bizarre. All right, so today, it's General's Wednesday, so hopefully we can have some fun today. And we have a really good prize, a pair of tickets to see Zac Brown Band. I know a lot of people like
Hello.
That. Yep, Zac Brown Band, August 26th at the BB&T Pavilion. A lot of people are into Zac. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. And so the general knowledge categories for today will be, the category is easy general knowledge. And when I mean easy general knowledge, I mean easy general knowledge. I'm almost like giving you a notch before we even start this competition with this category. Easy general knowledge. Then NFL team passing leaders by franchise. Movies that are the something, like The Shining. And I'll give you the hint. You got to tell me the movie that begins with a T-H-E. And then finally, it's a category called Banda de Gore.
Huh?
It is Banda de Gore Day in Iceland.
What the heck does that mean?
Banda de Gore means man's day or husband's day in Iceland. So we have our Valentine's Day here. Men have always been shut out. So this is man's day questions.
Can you give me an example?
I'll give you an example on the other side. All right?
Okay.
But so I'm going to let you marinate that in your head. Husband's day or man's day? Not Valentine's Day. This is in honor of all the men who listen to our show. Sorry, Jen.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Like, leaving me out. It's all right. Don't worry about me.
You're gonna get your little surprises next couple weeks for Valentine's Day.
All right.
610-632-0975 is how you climb into the show. It is the Mike Mussinelli Show. Sixers are on board with last night. I know everybody's all gacked about the way Embiid's playing, and the Flyers lost their 13th straight last night. Hard to believe. The Mike Mussinelli Show continues.
The Mike Mussinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey! Hi, C20, Mike Mussinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. 2 o'clock hour is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC, Lyon, Conklin. Attention HVAC contractors for equipment, parts, and supplies for every heating and cooling job. All you have to do is visit one of Ferguson's car locations. They're in Bensalem, King of Prussia, Pensauken, or Westchester. Let's start our Twitter poll for today. I guess it's flyer-oriented. Twitter poll brought to us by PoweredByMoyer.com. Make sure your gear is ready for whatever winter brings. PoweredByMoyer.com carries thousands of OEM and aftermarket parts and accessories for outdoor power equipment from brands like Husqvarna, Honda, MTD, and more. Order online at PoweredByMoyer.com. Jennifer Scordo with today's Twitter poll.
Hello. When will the Flyers be contenders again? You have four answers. 1 to 2 years, 3 to 4 years, after Fletcher era, or never. Early votes, 4%, 1 to 2 years. That wasn't zero. 20%, 3 to 4 years. 37% say never, and 39% say after Fletcher era.
All right. Now, listen, here's the skinny here in this town. Apparently, a lot of Flyer fans did not hear this. Because the calls we have on are about Hurts and Simmons.
I disagree. I think they heard it.
Really? They're in denial about it? Like, what? I guess I have to phrase it this way. Even if you're not invested in the Flyers, how would you have handled a press conference today if you're like the main financial dude and the general manager who has presided over this mess? How were they supposed to handle it?
Walk in and say this is unacceptable.
And that's kind of what Fletcher did, a lot better job than his boss.
Yeah.
But Fletcher's taking the cues from the boss. The boss is who's in charge. Everything's okay, according to the boss. Fletcher was saying some things weren't all right.
What? Why should Fletcher keep his job?
What do you mean?
Why should he keep it? If I'm the owner, I go, listen, I like you. And I thought, you know, we're going to have a good way. But I can't keep you. Look at the state of the organization. I've got to completely change this whole thing around. I don't understand how you can't come to another conclusion.
Because he also could be saying that some of the moves that he made weren't just him.
Well, but he's the guy who acquired the Ellis's and the Cam Atkinson's and I don't know.
Because you said that the old timers are still involved, right?
Yeah.
How do we know that Fletcher has full autonomy, or is it the fact that is Bob Clark, is other guy Holmgren?
I don't know. Listen, I got to think that he has full autonomy. He was hired to have full autonomy. He hasn't done a good enough job. He shouldn't keep his job. That's just. And I apologize, Chuck, but I got to judge what I see here. But anyway, Flyer fans, I guess, are just, I don't know how you guys tick. I really don't. I've tried to figure you out for 30 years. I still don't know how you tick. All right, so the general knowledge categories. Bonda Dagur is husband's day or man's day in Iceland. So this is really as simple. I teased it because I wanted you to think it was more complicated than it was.
Okay.
So these are just vocabulary words that end in man.
Oh, all right. Gotcha.
You know?
Yeah.
Because, it's a way that we're doing the cousin of Me Too is we also. So that's where, no, I've just made that up. So that's why. It's like we also.
I believed you for a minute.
Yeah. So we have to put some man. We have to put some man things in there. We also.
All right, if you insist.
All right, because Valentine's Day is coming up. Men take the heat on Valentine's Day.
Really?
Oh, talking about do men not take the heat?
Well,
on Valentine's Day.
Yeah, if they don't have their business in order, yeah.
Yeah, they are forced to do something. Because of the guilt of them not doing anything.
If their business isn't in order.
Right. Most guys' business isn't in order.
Yeah, you got to have your stuff in order.
Is that really true?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think you have to understand, you have to talk to the person you're with, and they have to recognize reality. Many guys, I think their problem is they're with people, and I guess this could go, it doesn't matter what orientation you are. You have to have a certain, you have to be grounded in reality in your relationship.
Yeah.
And I see some of these fools out there in these streets don't have things grounded in reality. Like, would you find, like the commercials that they do every Christmas with the bow on the car. In real life, even if you have the money, you got to talk to your partner about before you make a purchase that size. That's not something you just gift. You got to make a talk. That's not real life. That's not grounded in reality. I think sometimes certain people in relationships want things that aren't necessarily grounded in reality. Like a dinner reservation, okay, fine. But this and it, you got kids, you got a job, you got all these, you working overtime, you working two jobs, and then now you also got to do 97 things? Come on, that's not real life. She's got to know that, or he has to know that.
Well, I'm just speaking from this standpoint. That most men, I hope I'm not generalizing here, most men see Valentine's Day as something they're forced to do, not against their will, but forced to do, when they're really not that invested in it.
Yeah, I get you.
It's a Hallmark holiday, you know. I mean, get a card, some flowers.
Cards and flowers.
Cliche.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
Yeah.
But it's nice.
Cliche.
Yeah, I'm not doing that.
You should be given cards and flowers on other days other than Valentine's Day.
Okay.
Yeah, as a surprise to sprinkle in. I think Valentine's Day, because it's faux, you come to understand, like, my wife doesn't really care much. And I have to work the Saturday before both jobs. And Valentine's Day on a Monday. So she knows that Sunday, not a whole lot's going to go down. In fact, this year is kind of tough for me.
Monday, right?
Yeah, it's a Monday. No, what's tough is the day before is Super Bowl Sunday.
It is.
And we're not doing nothing Monday. And I got to work both jobs. I got to work both jobs Friday and Saturday. Yeah. So there's no way she's thinking we're doing something extra big, because reality says it's impossible. And she understands that.
There's the dilemma for the man on this Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
It's really difficult to get a dinner reservation that Monday because it's Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
so the compromise is you would do it the day before. However, the day before is Super Bowl Sunday.
That's not.
So do you backtrack it to Saturday?
Yes.
Yes, you do.
But most women want to backtrack it to Saturday. You want to get as possible.
But that's what I'm talking about, where you got to be with somebody who recognizes the reality of the world. Like, Jen, your husband is a sports fan.
Yeah.
You've been saying he's a big sports fan. You told me he gets upset when the Eagles lose and such things.
Yes.
No, you say he's like a big fan. Like, he's not like a casual.
Right.
He's going to want to watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
You work on Monday.
Yeah.
He works, like, you get what I'm saying? So you guys would have to do Saturday. You would have to, like, recognize that,
You're going to have a harder time getting reservations on Saturday than I would think Monday.
Because of this circumstance.
Right.
Yeah. You will get any reservation in any great restaurant on Sunday.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
But you can't miss the game.
But you're not.
You're doing a brunch. You could do a romantic brunch.
That's a great compromise, though.
Romantic brunch on that Sunday. They have fancy brunches now where you got to pay a couple dollars in the store.
Yeah.
But you can't do tonight. You can't. It's not a thing in real life. It's not. I'm saying it's not a thing unless you're like a non-sportsman.
Non-sports people watch the Super Bowl.
Yeah, it's not a thing.
So.
Like, sorry, we're either going out Monday, which means we're going out like right after work because we're not going out at 9 o'clock reservation when you got work the next day. Or we're going out Saturday. And if you can't accept that, you probably should be alone.
Yeah, you know you're going on Monday? You're going to Applebee's. That's where you're going.
The Waffle House.
But what else do you have? What choice do you have, Mike? Where would you take somebody on Monday or Valentine's Day and you're knowing you have to work the day after?
I would try to get to a restaurant, but it's impossible.
That's what I mean.
I've already.
So if she demanded it had to be on Monday, she would have, or he, I'm not talking about you, Mike, I'm saying whatever the orientation, however you identify, your partner is probably going to have to suck it up and maybe go to a lesser restaurant if it has to be on the day.
Yeah.
Or they're going to have to work with you. And if you're with somebody that won't work with you under these real-life circumstances, do you really need to be with them?
And when did, like...
And Tuesday is after the fact.
Oh, yeah. Tuesday's too late.
Tuesday's dead.
But, like, at what point...
Tuesday's dead.
Do you stop caring about Valentine's Day? Like, I'm way over it. It's like New Year's Eve. Like, I will not go out on that whole Valentine's Day weekend, whatever. Because I know everybody that never goes out is going to go out, right? It's like New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Never go out on New Year's Eve because everybody that never goes out is going to be out that night.
Yeah.
So,
I go out
at what
early,
point do you stop
we
caring?
We go out earlier in the day someplace, and we're always home by 10 at the latest.
Yeah.
At the latest. And then in the house for the actual news.
I always thought on these kind of busy days, they're not really invested in serving you. They're invested in pushing.
Get you in and out. Yeah. Table turnover.
You're right about that.
Yeah. The experience is not.
If you're at a place with the 90-minute limit, it's almost like they're looking at the watch.
Yeah.
All right, appetizers for 15.
Yeah.
Main course take 30 more.
Oh, yeah, because they're all, right. they're all booked up every minute of their evening.
You're right about that.
Yeah.
All right, so General Knowledge Wednesday is presented by Testo North America, the choice of HVAC techs who kind of have the most accurate, reliable, high-tech measurement tools in their toolbox when precision measurements matter. Be sure with Testo. Grand prize, pretty good one. Well, at least for some people. I'm not, it's not exactly my thing, but a pair of tickets to see Zach Brown Band on August 26th at the BB&T Pavilion. Tickets on sale now at Ticketmaster.com.
It's going to sell out.
Fantastic band.
Wow. Jen loves them.
I've seen them like 30 times. They're my favorite, so.
Does Zach Brown resonate with the brothers, Ty?
Chicken fried? I would think not. I'm sure there's going to be a black person there, but I don't think there's going to be a group.
Will there be a black person?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Yes.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And I bet you it's probably a good time.
It is.
If you can get past the music.
Oh, come on.
I just can't do this. Is my beef with them. And I know you said that a lot of their album songs are because they bring out a veteran and things like that. Like they do a nice thing.
Yeah.
But for me, if you're doing hokey interludes in the middle of your song, I'm out.
And they, hokey interludes?
They love hokey interludes.
One song.
Their biggest song. Because you know how sometimes songs
find you. I don't even know what their biggest song is.
Chicken fries.
Chicken fries.
That's chicken fries is their biggest song?
Yeah, I didn't bring up chicken fries just because. I don't know. It's because that's their song. That's their biggest song. They have other songs, but that's the one. Like, that's probably the song they're going to perform last.
Really?
Sometimes it's the encore.
Okay.
Sometimes, yeah.
I'm saying that's
a lot of times.
That's
going to
be
right.
Deep. They're not going to open with that.
No.
They're not going to open with chicken fried because people want to hear it.
All right.
They bring out a veteran and stuff. But when you're listening to it, they're talking about, you know.
Oh, really? Can we hear a little of that
cold
later?
Beer on a Friday night and such things. And
then
all of a sudden,
fried,
it just switches to patriotic song. And then back to talking about chicken. What are we doing here?
I'm not familiar with it. So I want to. Okay,
you're going to hate it.
You've never heard that song?
No, I never. I would know.
You're going to hate it.
Really?
Yes.
I want to hear it.
No.
I want to hear it a little.
You're not joking?
I'm not joking. I don't know from Zach.
You've never heard chicken fried? No.
So that was their first single. They're a very, very talented band. They play all their instruments. They write their music, all that stuff.
Yeah, I've seen him. I don't know the songs.
I'm sure you do. Once you hear it, you're going to hear it.
On the other side of the next break, we'll play a little.
Okay. Well, anyway, listen. People are very popular, so that's a great prize for General Knowledge Wednesday.
Yeah. It is a great prize.
All right? It's just, Mike, you just won't be meeting Mikey Miss in line.
You will. You will see me.
To get in. You'll see Jen.
I believe.
You won't see Mikey Miss or Ty.
I actually might book a trip to go to Chicago to see them at Wrigley this summer.
Yeah, really? You like them that much?
A nice trip.
Yeah, I saw them at
Wrigley,
Fenway.
The Wrigley-Chicago part's good.
I saw them at Fenway a couple years ago. That was really awesome.
They saw that at Fenway?
Yeah.
Two or three
nights in a row. Yeah.
This concert's going to sell out.
This is a pro.
That's why we only have one pair. They're not going to give us two because they're going to sell out about a trillion tickets to this thing.
I'm trying to think where I would have heard that. Like, there's no venue for me to hear.
Yes, you would.
Even by accident, I wouldn't even hear it.
You go to a bar sometimes.
Yeah. Any bar, you would hear it.
All right.
Trust me, I did not search out Chicken Fried by the Zach Brown Band. That song found me. I didn't find it. I know every word to that song, and I've never heard it. Like, I've never intentionally heard it, yet I bet you if it was playing, I could karaoke that song.
I don't think I've ever heard it, so this will be a test. Maybe I'll give it a thumbs up. I don't know. We'll see.
You're going to hate it.
Let's go. Ben in Wilmington start things off. What's up, Ben?
Hi. I just wanted to talk about Jalen Hurts.
Yes.
So a lot of people are saying that we should get Russell Wilson, and I don't agree with this. While I understand that Russell Wilson is a much better thrower, he can read defenses better than Hurts, and I'm not a Hurts fan, I just don't want to give up a bunch of first-round picks for a quarterback that's a lot like Jalen Hurts, like a running quarterback.
He's not a running quarterback at all.
I understand. He's a...
No, you don't. You just told me he's a running quarterback, so you don't understand. He's not a running quarterback. Yeah. He has the ability, he has some mobility, but he's not a running quarterback.
Okay. Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Uh-huh. I'm not a Jalen Hurts fan. I agree with everything.
Well, then if you're not a Jalen Hurts fan, and you know Russell Wilson's the better player, And you know, quarterback's the most important position. Why would you care about the draft picks? Because the draft picks are supposed to get you as good as you can, right? If those draft picks get you a quarterback, that makes you viable and much more viable, then why wouldn't it be worth it?
Well, I'm not sure. I do. To be honest, I don't.
I think you need to rethink this, Benny. Here's the thing, Ben. Draft picks are to make your team better, right?
Yeah.
Does Russell Wilson make your team that much better?
I would agree he does.
Oh, I think I convinced you.
Yeah.
Can I bring
up a quick baseball point also?
Yeah, go ahead, Ben.
So, as a former baseball player itself, why do guys who hit ground balls just lollygag it to first base? You know, it pisses me off. They make $30 million a year plus, and they don't hustle. It pisses me off. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I think you've been talking to some old heads.
Yeah.
The old heads always say that. There are some people who will lollygag it, but here's the thing. If you hit a ground ball, right, and they're going, I'm out. Okay, if it's an easy ground ball to somebody, they know they're out. The only way they're safe is if that guy throws it away. So in their head, they're going, what's the difference? You shouldn't think that way, but pro players try to negotiate themselves over a long 162-game schedule.
Yeah, well,
if he throws it away, I'm safe anyway. No, that's what they're saying. But if it's like a couple hopper and he's got it, I'm out. There's no way I can be safe. So why would I bust it?
A
ball in question, they're obviously going to bust it. A ball in the hole, but a ball right at somebody, they're thinking, okay, I'm out. He's got the ball in his glove. The only way I'm safe, he makes an errant throw, in which case I'm safe anyway. Right. That's what their mentality is.
Yeah, he seemed like he's not a happy guy.
No, I think he's been influenced by, like, a couple old heads.
No, I'm not talking about that. He also thinks that Russell Wilson's not a running quarterback.
Here's the fallacy of this whole thing with the draft picks. Because I told you, this city, more than anything, just gets scared to death about giving away draft
picks. Right about that.
It's a city trait.
They get in baseball, too. Can't get rid of that prospect for that short thing player.
Exactly.
What about that prospect?
Exactly. Now, I think it's worse here than anywhere. I've never really heard it worse. But they don't think, okay, if the object of the draft is get better, like, can you possibly improve your team more than with a quarterback who's an all-pro player?
No, a Hall of Fame quarterback,
So that's the logic you got to use, right? If the draft is to make you better, the draft has made you better if you moved it for Russell Wilson.
Right. And I even think that if you don't get a quarterback, let's say with the three first-round picks, you find out some defensive end is disgruntled. And you could trade 1-1 for a 26-year-old, I'm just giving an example, defensive end who can get you double-digit sacks.
Right.
That guy you know can play. The player you're drafting, you hope can play.
Exactly.
So you do need some draft picks because of the cost control, but if they trade pick their second first for some sure thing defensive end, I'm great with that because they badly need a defensive end. And you know that player can play. It's very odd how we prefer maybes. Not in life, but in sports, we prefer a maybe over the sure thing often.
Yes.
It's really weird.
Now, I understand we need a defensive end. We need maybe a corner.
I'm giving an example.
I understand that. But is there anything more important than adding a quarterback?
No. The Bengals are the biggest example right now. They have a decent defense, don't get me wrong. But they're a flawed team. But because they have a quarterback who can really play, they're in the AFC Championship game. They still have a bunch of draft needs. They have a bunch of offseason needs.
Yes.
But they're there standing right now because that quarterback in year two became a stud right away.
Right.
He's arguably a top five quarterback. Boom. So now, even though they have flaws, they're in the AFC title game.
Yes. So that's the way you got to look at it. I understand your deference for draft picks and how it makes you better and how you have to replenish. But if there's nothing more important than a quarterback, and that draft, if you trade a couple away to get that quarterback, it's kind of like you're ahead of the game, I think. And then just down the road, you do the other things because they're less important to an extent than the quarterback. Jim in Haddon Heights, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jim.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What's up, Jim?
Not too much, Michael. Ty, I thought I was frustrated over the Flyers press conference, but I think listening to you talk about Valentine's Day might have topped it. So, Mike, I would tell you, here's my perspective on things. I really think you're right. If you look at the salary cap error, Mr. Schneider would always kind of buy his way out of that.
Oh, can we stop? Can we please stop? Can we stop with the Mr. Schneider, please? Do we really need to keep going, Mr. Schneider, at this point?
No, it's just Mr. Schneider.
Okay, all right. See, this is all right.
No, it's not.
I find this whole thing distasteful. But go ahead. What was your point? The salary cap, Ed Snyder? They had more money than most of the teams.
Let me make your point.
I'm just rehashing what you were saying.
My perspective is that if you look at Comcast, I think Comcast is more about filling seats than they are about actually building a team. And I think Dave Scott's a perfect example of this. Like back when they originally got rid of Hextall, it was about moving the team forward. And I don't really think they necessarily had the pieces at that time in terms of draft picks, in terms of young talent, to go out and get a Kevin Hayes and get some of these other players. So they rushed this thing, I think, prior to. And I just think they've had a bad history of drafting players and really developing talent. So my point was originally agreeing with you that I think a lot of it has to do with you can't run a team the way you used to be able to do it. You can't buy yourself out of trouble if you don't have young talent that's cap-friendly.
You're right. So that means their failure to identify talent is the problem, which means this general manager in 3 years has done nothing to do that.
It goes back a couple of general managers.
Yeah, the Flyers have taken it for granted that they're still elite. And they're not. So that's why, you know, it was half tongue-in-cheek last week, but really not. That when you made changes, you need to change everything. You need to get a whole fresh perspective. You need to tear down a house that you bought and rebuild the house.
Yeah. Well, I'm really excited about after this 3-minute break. First time you're going to hear the number one hit, Chicken Fry.
You got Zach Brown teed up?
Yeah, on the other side.
I'm sorry. I apologize to that last caller because when he went Mr. Schneider, that to me like is an indication of the mindset of some Flyer fans that they still live in that past.
Right. With Rich Hoffman and Jason Stark today and with this start where people are going long, I'm going to make this over-under today. I had to lower it.
Oh, we haven't even taken one yet.
Right.
That's not your bad.
Both of them went long, so you really didn't have time.
Yeah.
I'm going to make it 7.1.
That's solid.
7.1.
Yeah.
7.1. We should be able to get to 8.
Okay.
Let's hope.
All right. Let's take a break. We're back. It's a quick one. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 2:47. Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. John Olage, Wednesday. Pair of tickets to see the Zach Brown Band August 26th at the BB&T Pavilion. Now, I'm aware that the Zach Brown Band exists. In fact, I've seen him on shows and things. But I don't really know the music. So, Ty apparently is very familiar with this song. What is it called?
Fried chicken fried.
Chicken fried?
Not fried chicken.
Chicken fried.
Chicken fried.
Yes.
All right.
Now, I just want to make it clear, I've never searched for the song. Now, the big thing with this is the chorus. So I queued this up right before the chorus.
Okay.
Because you don't have to know all the words.
Okay.
But,
all right.
But here.
All right. That's here.
When love is grown in southern ground. And and a little bit of chicken fried. Cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio, oh, oh, a lot of sea sunrise. See the love in my woman's eyes, feel the touch of my precious child, and know a mother's love. It's funny how it's the little things in life that mean the most, not where you live, what you drive, or the price tag on your clothes. There's no dollar sign on a peace of mind, this I've come to know. So if you agree, have a drink with me, raise your glasses for a toast.
Here it goes.
To a little bit of chicken fried, and cold beer on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio,
I never heard it, but
you never heard that song?
No, I never heard the song. I mean, it's very countryish, very simple.
Yes,
you know, a pair of jeans that fits just right, cold beer on a Friday night, chicken fried steak.
Yeah,
you know,
yes. Yeah, and then after 3 minutes or two, 3 minutes of that, all of a sudden it's a patriotic song, and then back to being about the simple things.
Yeah.
I have a theory.
Well, it's covering all bases.
I have a theory.
Why? So, do that in a different song.
Country dudes like to cover all bases.
Well, that too.
They like to be patriotic, but also like chicken fried.
Doesn't make any sense.
In the context of the song,
it makes no sense.
All right, but let me tell you a little background about Dak Rambine. Okay, so they're from Georgia. I actually went to elementary school with one of the guys in the band.
Oh, really?
So when they were up and coming and playing in bars where nobody knew them, didn't know their original music or anything like that, they would play an original song, and in the middle of it, they would throw in a chorus from a very famous song to get all the drunk people in the audience to come back to them. And then, so they do this little interlude of some whatever, a Who song or a Zeppelin song or something in the middle of their original song, and then go back to the original ending of the song, and it would draw the drunk people back into actually listening to their band. It might have something to do with that.
Listen, I can see where they satisfy country people.
They are a very talented band.
They got a country swagger to them.
Their better songs are not album cuts, like the ones, or they are the album cuts, the ones that are not generally on terrestrial radio or any radio. Those songs, in my opinion, are better.
You're a country southern girl,
so this
would resonate with you more naturally than it would with moi.
Yeah,
the 12th time I heard that song out, I honestly thought I was going to pass out. Or maybe die.
I mean, that's a little dramatic.
When you go out, you hear the whitest boy music ever.
Are you kidding me? if only you knew.
If only you knew.
And if anybody out there that's thinking, oh, what's Tyrone talking about if you're Caucasian? Now, really think about this. How many times, Caucasian people out there, have you been the only white person in a room? I bet you not many.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Probably right.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, we say whatever talk about, just think about it. Next time you're in a room, if you're Caucasian,
I get you.
Think about the time where you were the only white person in the room. And then imagine me. No one could hear me scream. No one would vouch for me. They call the cops on me. They're just going to say I did it. They're all going to say it. And that song's playing in the background.
Let me ask you this, because you've heard this song a lot. Yeah. Have you ever gotten to the point where you wanted to sing along?
To this song?
Yeah.
Hell no.
Cold beer on a Friday night.
You've never gone that way.
No, but I'll be honest,
there are songs that I've called on to, like Friends in Low Places.
Well, I was going to reference that. I love
Friends in Low. I really like that song. Like, at first, man, this Garth Brooks guy might be all right. And I was sitting there, and the next thing you know, I was doing To the Oasis. Like,
well, there you go. That's why I answered the question.
Whatever that song.
Because that's like a catchy song called Cold Beer on a Friday night.
Yeah, I feel like there are non-country people that like this song.
The interlude ruined it for me, so I've hated them ever since.
That's the funniest reason to hate a song that I've ever heard.
Well, he's got very interesting. He'll latch on to one little reason.
Yeah, well,
he is.
I've learned that.
Oh, yeah, it's all one little reason for him to...
Now we're talking about military? I thought we were sitting around eating chicken by fire. Now we're talking about a military? The dude
is smart. He's speaking to different audiences that will join in with what he's saying.
Well, I mean, best of luck to them. I mean, obviously, they don't need me to be a fan. Right,
well,
making money.
Listen, I apologize to the people out there because I haven't gotten to one general knowledge question. We've exhausted the first hour. So the 3 o'clock hour, we're going to fire away. If you're into cold beer on a Friday night, well, then guess what? The 3 o'clock hour, you're going to get a chance to win Zach Brown tickets.
That's right.
We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, 3 o'clock hour. Sixers won last night, by the way. I'm going to talk about this in a second with Rich Hoffman of The Athletic. 3 o'clock hour is brought to us by Corbelli's Bakery and Deli, world-famous tomato pie, and Hoagie Party Trays, every bit as good. He writes for The Athletic, covering the Sixers. And last night, well, he's covering a team now with this player who is, like, just been all world, and if he does not win MVP this year, it would be ridiculous. But anyway, here he is, folks, on the Comcast Business Hotline. Rich Hoffman. Rich, what is it like to cover Embiid these days?
Sorry, Mike, I didn't hear you on that one.
What is it like to cover the greatness of Embiid these days?
It's a lot of fun. I mean, it's I think when we have talked about this team for a lot of the season. You know, it's kind of, we've had the whole Simmons situation hanging over everything. And, you know, for him to just, he makes you want to, like, go to the gym, like, every night, like, see what he's able to do. It's been, it's so effortless. The combination of the power and the skill, I mean, it's really, like, I'm having trouble even describing it, Mike. It's just, it's really awesome. And I think, you know, in some ways, not having Ben Simmons this year has given him the freedom to kind of expand his game. And he has done that in ways that, you know, I'm pretty high on him in general, in ways that I didn't even know really he could do.
Yeah, it's really a treat. I mean, in this city, you know, we can go back and like Harper was a treat last year. AI for all those years was a treat every night. And this is kind of the same level. I mean, he's doing some things that are just mind boggling. And he's carrying a team that really needs carrying at this point because they're not a great team. They're not very athletic. And this guy every night gives them a chance to win. And yeah, I know they've played some teams that have been wounded also. But I guess where I'm going with this is, like, if they stay pat, and he'll probably make some kind of deal to trade deal, but not the big deal. And we talked with Maury about this. Can they, with him carrying this team, make any kind of a decent run that would lead them to an Eastern Conference Championship Series?
No, I don't think they can.
Okay.
And it's just not his fault. You know, I understand the sentiment that when you go into a series with the best player on the floor, and he is playing so well that you could put him up against anybody in the league. And if you wanted to say, this guy is going to be the best player on the floor, I don't know how you could outright argue it because he's just been that good. But we saw it last night, like for example, like, yeah, they're not playing very good teams right now. So the team they played last night is not a good team in general. They were missing like five of their better players. They were on the first night of a back-to-back, or the second night of a back-to-back. And Joel Embiid kind of took the first half off on the defensive end. And I don't want to say he took the whole half off because he scored like, I think he had 18-7 at halftime. But like he even said it after the game. He was pacing himself. What happens when he paces himself on one half of the floor for half the game? They're down 8 points to that team at halftime. And it's just, he doesn't have the horses around him, I think,
But he also wouldn't pace himself in a playoff situation. See, the urgency, the immediacy of that situation may not allow him to do that. So I guess what I'm asking you is, you know, if he doesn't pace himself and plays at that level and goes 40-15 every night, is it possible?
I guess I can't
completely outright deny it 100%. But, Mike, I just see, you know, and by the way, like, with the way the Eastern Conference is shuffled, are there teams the Sixers could see in the first round where I think they would have even better than a puncher's chance, like a good chance of winning? Like, if they saw Chicago or Cleveland or somebody, yeah, they could absolutely win a series against those teams. I find it hard to believe with, you know, with the young Tyrese Maxey and with Tobias Harris and with Steph Curry as kind of your next best options, I find it hard to believe you're going to win, you know, two series against Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Miami. But, like, the one thing I will say is, even though they are playing bad teams right now, I don't think good teams, even if they might beat the Sixers, have any sort of answer for this guy. Everything was so easy for him right now, whether he's putting a guy in the basket on post-ups or he's making, you know, mid-range jumpers at the free throw line. I don't really think there is any sort of answer for him. I just wonder if the other guys can play up to the level.
No, I totally get it. So let's move to the next level on this. Because, you know, last night I even tweeted it out that he had this on the floor. Quirk Mazniang, Joe Drummond, and Tobias. Like, I don't know if you can get any less athletic than that. But so I get what you're saying. But, you know, we had Maury on. He says he's been pretty good at deadline trades to fortify a team. It's probably not going to be the Ben trade. But what do you see coming down the pike possibly?
Well, they have some picks that they can deal. They have, you know, Danny Green is potential matching salary, although I think, you know, as you can see, when Danny Green's healthy, like, you know, he's a little bit better than some of these guys that they're putting on the floor at a normal time. You know, like I think they might be able to get, like, a backup guard type, but it's like he said, you know, last year, like, he got George Hill. He took a swing on that. That didn't really work, but even if it did work, I'm not sure that type of player is really putting the Sixers over the top this year. I mean, they might be able to get a little more athletic than that crew you just talked about, for sure. Yeah. Like, I think there are ways to get better. But, you know, we're talking about incremental improvements when I think they need, like, a, you know, even, I think Embiid has probably changed the narrative a little bit. Like, do you need, like, another MVP-level candidate to play with him? He's going to play like this. I'm not exactly sure if you need that, but you need something above what they're going to be able to fetch for their
depth. All right, so you do not see the Simmons trade coming at the trade deadline, or do you see a possibility?
I think it's possible. I mean, could a team get really desperate? The one thing I would say about the Simmons trade, if it happens at this deadline, I don't think Daryl Morey, if he makes that trade in the next couple of weeks, Mike, I don't think it's going to be, we got to get Joel help this year. Like, I think if he does make that trade, it's going to be, this is the best thing we can get for the next 3 or 4 years. And that's what it's going to be. And to answer your question, I would lean, you know, is it 50-50? I would lean more towards no. I don't think it's going to happen for that reason.
All right. Let me ask you then about the offseason, because we've been talking about this for a lot. And if you really, you know, kind of look at the tea leaves here, it almost seems to me that Daryl Morey's got a wink that he knows that he can get Harden in the offseason. Are you feeling that? Do you think that's what the plan is?
Yeah, I think that's certainly one of the things that it's at least one of the plans. It's like a backstop type of plan. And I wonder if that plan, he thinks, okay, I can get this same package that we have at the deadline in the offseason. Maybe we try for the Harden plan first, because, you know, obviously Harden is a different caliber of player. He's got his question marks. He's a little bit older. But, you know, I mean, I can understand why he would be a little bit frustrated with that whole situation in Brooklyn. And it seems like, I mean, there's been whispers about this, like, literally since the beginning of the season, but obviously, you've seen the reporting over the past couple of weeks that, you know, he's grown a little bit frustrated now. Like, can Daryl Morey completely sway him? And does Joel Embiid, is that such a better situation than Kevin Durant? I think the Nets, they probably would have to flame out in the playoffs for it to be a possibility. I find it hard to believe, like, if they won a title, that he would leave. But, yeah, I certainly think that is, it's definitely a possibility for sure.
All right. What else could be a possibility?
I mean, I still think Lillard and Beal are a couple of names that they would look for. You know, Beal, somebody who hasn't signed his extension. He's not played that well
this season. Lillard, it's unclear what Portland is going to do. You know, in the offseason, they have a kid, Anthony Simons, who's playing really well, and you know, maybe that allows them to kind of embrace the rebuilding package a little bit more. But I think he's still focused on either, you know, a lower-level star in, like, picks, or a lower-level player in picks. Like, I think he used the term top 40 player with you on that on that radio interview, or, like, you know, top 20. And I think that is the ultimate goal, to try and get that level of a player. But, you know, and I think for that reason, because those top 20 players aren't really available right now, I think that's why, you know, you kind of have the feeling, and I think you're right, that this has a good chance of going over the offseason.
All right, Rich, always a pleasure. Thanks for coming on, and continue to chronicle this wonderful season by this dude. There he is, Rich Hoffman, Athletic. Comcast Business Hotline. Athletic now owned by the New York Times, by the way.
Yeah.
About that.
Yeah.
What was that, 500-something million?
Yep. That's that venture capitalist. Capitalism. Some people looked at it as a bad thing. I don't, but that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, the Athletic has been a very interesting little financial story.
Yes, and we'll see what the New York Times does with it. Yeah. But there would be less coverage in a lot of cities without the Athletic.
Yes.
And it would make sense why a national newspaper like the Times would want to have a foothold in all those cities.
Sure.
But people didn't look at it like that. Yeah. Oh, this is the worst thing ever. Oh, my God. Or perhaps you have more coverage that you would not have had otherwise.
Yeah. So tomorrow night, the big one, Lake Show, coming to the Sixers.
Tell you what.
Always an interesting.
Always.
Watching that game with the sound off. I don't want to hear about Shaq. I don't hear from Shaq. I don't want to hear from the play-by-play. This will be, because it's national TV, yeah. I will be watching this game on mute.
Really?
Yes.
Well, I just put the between periods show on mute.
Because the people pre-game. During the game.
You're many not, times. Not into that either?
If it's Reggie Miller, hell no.
Reggie.
If it's Weber, hell no.
Who will that be?
They don't. I would. It's good to have the national perspective once it gets to like a playoff series, I guess, when it's game to game and they know what they're talking about. These guys are like, they're casuals trying to tell us about our teams, and it gets frustrating because they don't know. You know, Joel Embiid, that's the place he struggled this year if he misses one foul shot. Man, he struggled from the line this year. No, he hasn't. He missed one today. Like, that's what they'll do. Oh, man, Maxey. Or Thibel makes threes, and they'll say, man, Thibel's been shooting great. Like, what? Have you not watched the team? Mm-hmm. Like, he hasn't shot great. So that's why.
Yeah, I'm trying to get to who the commentators would be that night.
I don't know if they have it. Do they have that out?
I guess, you know, I can't find it. All right, let's get back to these phones. David Lafayette Hill. By the way, David, you're going to be the first general knowledge participant.
Terrific.
All right.
Thank you for taking my call. First time caller.
Thanks, buddy.
I really enjoy listening to you. I love listening to Ty and Jen's What's Breaking with Jen. I'd like to request that you increase her number to 5, maybe, instead of 3.
We'll take that under advisement, David.
Thanks, buddy.
Thanks. I'm calling about the Flyers. A Flyers fan since their inception in 67. Mm-hmm. I believe that their demise more recently started in the 2010 season when they finished 7th in the division in the playoffs, played the Devils, beat them, were down 3-0 to the Bruins, miraculously came back and beat them, mm-hmm. played Montreal. That was a 7 and an 8 seed playing each other in the finals, beat them, and then sadly lost to the Blackhawks in 6 games. And then their illustrious general manager, Mr. Holmgren, decided to implode the team. What do you think of that maneuver?
Well, I think I agree with you that his his contributions were not real helpful. But again, this goes back to what I go with this connection where every ex-Flyer gets a chance to meddle, and I've never been a fan of that, and they can't seem to rid themselves of this, and that's why I'm calling for such a fresh perspective that goes all the way down to the colors of the uniforms.
What will I do with all my shirts?
Yeah, I hear you. I know that would be a problem. But there's, you know, just think how brand spanking new, a new design, a new color, you know, and you're flashing that.
Right.
Huh? Wouldn't that be nice?
Sure would.
All right. Let's go with the general knowledge question. All right. What is the biggest U.S. state by land area?
Alaska.
Correct. Oh, first question, bang.
Starting off strong.
There you go.
That was easy general knowledge, right?
That was easy general knowledge.
All right. If they're going to be in that vein, we got it.
Yeah. I was at that game. He talked about the Blackhawks. I could still see Patrick Kane flipping it, sliding it past Michael Layton.
Yeah.
And nobody knew it was a goal except Patrick Kane.
Yeah, he's
now, when did that go in? Patrick ain't skating around like a maniac.
Got himself in a little bit of trouble, that guy.
Patrick? Yeah.
Yeah.
Good player, though.
Yeah.
No, he was the first pick, and the Flyers had the second pick, I believe.
Yeah, all that.
In that draft. The Flyers taking the second.
I don't remember now.
Yeah, they got.
It was not as good a player, I'll tell you.
No, it wasn't as good a player. It was Van Riemsdyk, I think. I think Kane went one.
That would make sense. Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think it was Van Riemsdyk.
That sounds about right.
All right, let's go Shane in Roxborough. Shane, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Shane.
Hey, Mike.
What's up, Shane?
Just want to call in about the Flyers. I think you're spot on with your assessment of it's an organizational problem. I think the biggest thing, I think it's their development. If you look at teams like the Penguins and Carolina, they got like guys who like Aho and Slavin who were late round picks. You look at the Flyers, outside of Shane Gostisbehere, can you name me one Flyer who's had an impact outside of the first round? It's really hard to do.
Yeah.
And it's hard to say Hart because he was the number one goalie pick that year. So outside of that, like any person outside of a first round pick who's given you anything, it's really hard to find. And I think that's what really hurts them because other teams hit on late round guys. It's all around the league. It's like, it's not just when you look at the number, like the first pick you have. I think you have to go and you have to look at drafts on a whole, and they consistently miss with their depth picks. It's really bad.
Yeah, I agree with you. You look at a team now, they're all at the same level of talent. They're all, and we talked about this the other day, it's funny, but it's true. They're all Scott Laughton level players.
I agree.
And nobody stands out. And like even today, he goes, well, you know, we have a good young core led by Coots. Coots is not, I mean, he's an okay player.
I mean, he's a workman-like player,
but he's not elite.
Absolutely. And I think that, I mean, they acknowledge that they're big game breakers away today, which I thought was good. But I said, and you're saying there was too much optimism there. And the other thing, too, they've lost so many times. They've spent a ton of money. I mean, they just signed TK. He's one guy who had, this year alone, he had 2 goals in 26 games. And he mentioned him as a piece to build around.
He was going to be a good player, but he's like, I don't know. He needs some kind of physical program. He looks really skittish out there. All right. Anyway, here's your general knowledge question. NFL team passing leaders. Now, the question is, you're going to have to give me three of them by team, but I'm going to cut it down to two because three would be tough.
Okay.
So if I said to you, give me the all-time leaders for the Dolphins, give me two of the top three passing leaders for the Dolphins.
That would be Dan Marino.
That's one.
Who's been a recent Dolphins quarterback? I couldn't even name you a second.
Yeah, see, this is tough. You have to go way back. Now, you should have got this one because it was a legendary team. It was the undefeated team. So Bob Greasy is second. But third is Ryan Tannehill.
Ugh. Yeah, I wouldn't
Ryan Tannehill is third.
How about that?
20,000 yards for the Dolphins.
Wow.
Greasy, 25,000.
Yeah, but you're talking about a 72 team for the quarterback.
Yeah, but Bob Greasy's a famous enough name. His kids on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, I don't know if he's a famous name anymore. You have to be at least 60 to have seen that team and remember it.
But you got to remember they were undefeated, only undefeated team in history. So you would think you would know who the quarterback was.
Yeah. I mean, I remember.
Well, you could have got Ryan Tannehill. Even if you didn't remember Greasy, you could have got Tannehill.
No, I feel honestly.
That's recent.
I think that might be the hardest sports question you've ever asked. I'm being serious. Like, I think that might be the hardest one you've ever asked.
That's
only two. No one would ever think Tannehill. Ever.
No, absolutely.
You would never think, no reasonable person, unless you're in Miami, would think Tannehill.
But Greasy's a pretty famous quarterback for them.
And he wasn't very good either. So, yeah, because I thought it was like Mercury Moore, Zonka.
Well, yeah, but all those guys are legendary. Undefeated team. Greasy, Mercury Moore, Zonka. Where were the receivers?
They weren't very good, the receivers.
Yeah.
On that squad. Their defense was good.
This could be a tough category today.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because like, if I said to you the Rams.
Warfield is decent.
Let me go Rams for you.
I would have no idea.
See,
I would think Kurt Warner. I would think Everett.
Number one is Everett.
Yeah, that would make sense. Warner's not two?
No.
Who's two?
Mark Bolger.
Oh, my God. See what I mean? Like, ew.
I'm not going to give you that test because that's impossible. But I'm going to give you the teams where you're going to be recognized at least.
Who's third?
Roman Gabriel.
What?
Huh? Yes,
so Warner's not the top three?
He's not.
That's not.
See, my mind, he was the greatest show on turf. He wasn't there long. But he must have thrown Bolger. Ugh. Not Whitey Bulger.
Mark Bulger from West Virginia.
I know. I remember him now, but I would have never thought of it on my own.
Most people definitely would say Kurt Warner. Let me just see how many yards he had here.
It must have been 20-some thousand, right?
I would have thought that he would be in there. But
what was he, like a six-year starter then?
Six years.
Okay.
14,000.
And that's second?
That's not, no, he's not even in it.
Oh, no, it's about Kurt Warner.
Kurt Warner for the Rams.
Only threw for 14,000.
14,000. 15,000 for Arizona.
And then a little bit for the Giants.
A little bit for the Giants. Only 14,447 for the Rams.
Wow. His run, he was really like just like a shooting star.
Yes, he was.
Wow.
It's a crime that Mark Bulger has more yards as a Ram than him, doesn't it?
It
feels like a crime.
But this is a general knowledge where I'm going to learn stuff because I didn't even think that. Greasy in that Super Bowl was 8-for-11 for 88 yards. Booty hooked it up.
Nuh-uh.
He was 8-for-11 for 88 yards.
But he must have had a good year that year.
I guess, yeah, but different game. But that's the difference.
Yeah.
Quarterback wasn't the most important position then.
No.
That's not now.
Yeah. All right, let's take a break. 610-622-0975. Back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
3:31, Mike Missinelli's Showtime. An update on our Twitter poll brought to us by PowerBombMower.com with Jen Scordo. Jen.
When will the Flyers be contenders again? Easy. You get four choices. 1 to 2 years, 3 to 4, after Fletcher era, or never. Right now, after Fletcher era is winning at 37%.
Oh, people down on the GM. But the main man isn't. Very good relationship with Chuck Fletcher. Can we hear a little bit? Play any random soundbite that sounds ridiculous.
No, since you brought it up.
Yeah.
You know, Chuck's my guy, and we're trying to build around that, trying to strengthen his front office team as much as we can, and made a lot of positive changes that way. So I'm excited about that.
Well, I'm glad they made a lot of positive changes, because otherwise they would be the worst team in the league instead of, you know, in the bottom five.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, man.
I don't understand that. Like, and I'm not saying, obviously, the guy sitting next to him, he's not going to throw him under the bus. You can easily say, Chuck has admitted, because he did say sorry. Mm-hmm. Chuck has admitted, you know, some things haven't gone the way that we hoped, mm-hmm. but we believe in the future it'll get better. Yeah. And you can say, well, how do you think that? Well, we've made some changes, and it'll be, but instead, he's kind of pretending like everything's just fine, and that's odd. Mm-hmm. It's just odd to me that he's just pretend him, the guy, in the main guy, is just acting like, what are you guys talking about?
Yeah. It's a damn shame, really. I mean, this is, you know, teams go sour. They don't go 13 games in a row and 10 games in a row sour.
In the first 42.
Yeah, this is a disgrace.
Also, he said one other thing that doesn't hold water that I think would be interesting.
I mean, Philadelphia is very tough with this vaccination, so that's impacting attendance. It's impacting the Wings. It's impacting the Sixers. You know, it doesn't help the cause. But bottom line is, we have to get better. We got to figure out how to win games.
So he said the right part. Second, we checked, because I wanted to Google this. The Sixers are currently second in the NBA in attendance with the same damn rules as the Flyers.
Yeah, that was foolish.
I'm just saying, the same rules, same building. Mm-hmm. Chicago 1, Sixers 2 in the entire NBA. And Chicago also has strict COVID rules. So I understand whether you agree, disagree. That's not really about that. It's about the reason people aren't going to Flyers games, because Flyers fans don't think they're any good.
Yeah.
That's why. It's not because of COVID. If they think they're good, like they think Embiid's must-see TV, so you know what people do? It's better than TV. Let's go see them in person. They don't have trouble getting people in that building for Sixers games.
Mm-mm.
It's the same damn building with the same parking lot, the same traffic, the same everything. So cut it out. You talk to people like they're stupid, and that I don't like.
Yeah. Their case doesn't hold water. Last time I heard that phrase was Joe Pesci was saying it in
My Cousin Vinny?
Yeah, My Cousin Vinny. Miss Vito.
You do him so well.
Does the defense's case hold water?
I love it.
I love that saying.
It is good.
I think it's a saying even like a kid who's ever taken a goldfish home in a plastic bag understands.
Yep, that's
whole
true.
Whole water makes sense. That's why I like it. It's a saying that actually, some sense, some things don't make sense.
No.
Keep going, Mike.
Oh, that's good.
I love the attorney, too. It's a trick question, because you can't answer it. No. And then she goes into why it's a trick question. That whole scene is fantastic.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
Rodriguez in Middletown. Oh, Rodriguez.
Mike, what a Spencer, Mike. Hey, that means it's afternoon. Good afternoon.
Yeah, I know what Buenos Tardes means, brother.
Buenas tardes. Most people know Buenos Dias.
Buenos Dias is good day. Buenos Tardes is good afternoon. I got you.
Tu sabe, Mike? Tu sabe?
Tu sabe.
Hey, Mike, you know, Breezy, you know, I was living in Florida at that time, but you know what, Mike? Only me and you remember the legends at that time, Mike. Listen, Mike, I'm 62. You right there with me, you know? We remember only the legends, you know? Breezy was a legend to me.
That was the historic-making team. When somebody has a winning streak, they always reference that team. So that's why I agree Greasy's fairly famous.
And you know what? I got his jersey.
Bob Greasy's jersey?
I got the Bob.
Well, and he also became an announcer for years.
Yeah,
he was an announcer for years. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And you know what else we remember? We remember the good Flyers. See, me and you, we remember the 70s Flyers. See, that's why we...
See, they weren't the good Flyers.
They were
the good Flyers for that era. The era seems to keep going on and on and on and on with this organization. You got to get rid of the era.
Yeah, we remember that, though, Mike. We were teenagers. We remember.
Yeah, but we're also old enough to realize it has to change. Hockey's not played like that anymore.
That I believe, Mike.
All right.
I believe. Hey, Mike, let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Why do we keep talking about Wilson? Didn't the coach and the general manager already said that Hurts is coming back?
No. Hey, what do you expect? You know, they said it, but they, you know, really, you think that they meant it if they could upgrade that position?
But I think, Mike, at this point, he deserves to come back.
Why? Why?
He took us to the playoffs.
Why?
He took us to the playoffs.
Yeah, but it was flimsy.
Yeah,
he didn't take you to playoffs. He took you to playoffs because you played all these lousy quarterbacks.
In his first year, Mike, come on, Mike. Por favor, Mike.
Por favor, if you can improve that position, why wouldn't you?
Wilson, isn't Wilson a little bit washed up already?
He washed up. He's 33.
But he's not playing. He's not playing that Wilson that we used to know.
He's still back. At a high level, very high level quarterback, higher level than what the Eagles have.
Mike, I have really enjoyed this playoffs. These playoffs have been, Mike, at my age, these playoffs have been some of the best.
Oh, I agree with that. But Rodriguez, you got to start revising your thought process on the quarterback situation. All right, you ready for a general knowledge question?
See, I'm in my.
All right, here it is. Movies that are the something. So the word T-H-E has to be in front of the movie. All right, here it is. Woman must escape a killer cyborg from the future.
The Phantom.
The Phantom? The hell's the Phantom? What is the Phantom?
I don't know about the Phantom.
Isn't that a comic strip, the Phantom?
I don't know. A superhero of some sort, I guess, right?
I think the Phantom was a comic strip like way back in the day. But the answer is the Terminator. Of course.
There you go.
One of the few times where the sequel was probably better than the original.
Yeah.
Does not happen very often.
Not at all.
Movie history.
All right, so we got one correct so far?
No.
Two?
Yeah, no, I won. I think one.
One.
One?
Yeah,
I guess one.
I think one.
All right, Chuck in Havertown. Chuck, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, hello, everybody.
What's up, Chuck?
I know that the Eagles game's already almost 2 weeks old, but I don't know, and I'm glad to talk about football because we saw four great games. I don't know if people talked about it. I know you mentioned it the day after the game. Is there analytics heavily weighed to, if you win the coin toss, to defer to the second half? It seems that,
analytics say yes
all the time, like without.
The reason they say it is, they say if you can score at the end of, like the Eagles in the Super Bowl, in the playoff game, hurts through the interception, but if you get points there and then get the ball back in the first half, in the second half, they say that there's a mathematical proof that it's better to do that than the alternative.
So even though, and I know that, you know, why give Brady the ball to start the game?
Well, and that's where I come in, because analytics may say one thing. Common sense in that kind of a situation, the last thing you want to do, in my view, is to give him the ball and then get down the field, take the lead on you.
Right, which he did, which was just like the game back in October or whatever. And
because the way you play is that you are a heavy ground control team. So if you spot them a touchdown, that's not conducive to what you do best.
Right. So I'm assuming that all four, I didn't even notice, but almost all the games I see, and like Tyrone just pointed out, you're benefiting by deferring. So I'm assuming all four teams this past weekend deferred, but, I don't know.
I don't know. Did they?
I believe they did.
Yeah, the Eagles have consistently deferred. But again, like, this is what I'm thinking. Like, in that kind of game, maybe you don't. That's all I'm saying. That's where you're coaching on your on your feet comes in.
Right. Didn't anybody say to him, like, why don't we defer? Or why don't we go on the attack? Not to defer.
Right, they listen to their analytics people a lot.
Yeah. So. All right. Why can't somebody? All right. Okay.
All right, man. Here's the general knowledge question for you. This is vocabulary words ending in man, M-A-N. All right. So if I say to you, the head of the board of directors is A.
Chairman.
Correct. There you go. All right.
Okay.
Yeah, we got two.
Get some more the rest of this hour. Again, I wasn't, by the way, saying whether or not I agree or disagree. I'm saying the analytics, what they say is it's very valuable. And they were down 17-0 in that game. If Hurst doesn't throw the interception and they score and they get three there, then they get the ball first to score a touchdown. It went from 17-0 to 17-10 without Tampa touching the ball. This is what these guys go by. Now, I'm not saying that it's always right, and obviously it's not, but that's the reason they do it. They think the opportunity to be able to be strategic to do that without the other team having a chance to touch it is worth it in their eyes. Again,
All right. In some cases, though, I think maybe you got to think beyond that and go, do I really want to do that?
I agree with you, but rarely do these guys go against the analytics.
They don't want to go against the analytics.
Do you want to know why? Because then they're never right. Yeah. They're never wrong. Yeah. Same thing with baseball. If you know that this right-handed pitcher has it going and you got a lefty coming up, gut would say, or you have to make a decision and leave that righty in. But if you go with the lefty, no matter what happens, you're off the hook. It's the lefty's fault for giving up the hit to the lefty.
Yeah.
That, and I don't agree with that. Sometimes I think you should go, if that pitcher's getting everybody out, then stay with the pitcher to get everybody out. But those guys go, no, no, no. Got to bring it to lefty. Because then no one can question me after the game.
That's right.
That's why they do it. So they're not questioned.
All right. By the way, Jason, I haven't talked to Jason Stark in a really long time, but there's some really interesting little baseball issues at Hall of Fame, and we'll see where they are as far as this lockout goes and whether spring training is going to happen or we're going to have canceled games here. 610-632-0975. This is the quick break, so we're back in a flash.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3:46. I'm Mike Missinelli, show 97.5 The Fanatic. I'm just looking at this general knowledge category. It's easy general knowledge. And I'm laughing because it's like ridiculous. You can't possibly miss these, but we'll get to those in a second because right now it is time. It's that time of the day where we find out what's brewing with Jen. And, of course, that is brought to us by Dunkin'. It is always game on with Dunkin'. Rewards members, you can pick your day, score free medium hot coffee one time per week. Valid at participating locations for a limited time. Exclusions apply. Jen, what do we have for today?
It helps if I turn my microphone on. Okay, so I have an update from the guy that ran out on the field on Sunday that got leveled by Diggs.
Yes.
He did it because his friend bet him $1,000 that he wouldn't do it. That's a bad friend.
Yeah, that's a bad friend.
That's a bad friend because you know what just happened? You spent the night in jail. You're going to get fined. You're facing that municipal charge. And that $1,000 is not going to cover all of that.
If your friend told you to jump off a bridge, would you do it?
Right. Yeah. He was probably just really drunk and said, I'm going to put $1,000 in my pocket.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a bad friend because the friend probably knew he was drunk. He probably wouldn't have done that sober.
No. Isn't that terrible?
Whatever that fine that guy's got to pay.
That's not going to cover it.
My friend should pony up.
And, I agree. And so pay the fine and give the $1,000? Or just give the $1,000?
Yeah, you got to give $1,000. He did it.
You got to give him the.
You cover his fines and give him the $1,000.
And then half the fines. Here's your $1,000. And what was the fine? A $500 fine. Here's another $250.
No.
Is that how it should work?
Pay for the whole fine.
So because the guy actually did it.
He's still dumb.
He should be absolved.
He's still dumb.
Yeah, so he's got to at least pay half.
All right. I'm with you. Okay, evidently in Florida, it's been very cold down in Florida.
And they've been whining. Every Florida person I know has been complaining.
It's 40 degrees and I'm freezing.
What?
So anyway, temperatures are
chilly down there,
in the 30s and the 40s in Florida right now, but it's causing iguanas to freeze and fall from trees. Iguanas are big. They're not tiny.
I've heard this happen before.
They don't die. They kind of just they get put kind of like to sleep, but they stiffen up.
They get stood on.
And then they fall.
It happens with gators and snakes too.
Right.
But none of them are in trees. They'll fall out of the tree apparently.
Yeah. I mean, imagine if you're walking along and an iguana falls on your head. I mean, could cause some real damage. Like, that's, it's scary. One meteorologist tweeted out, we've entered falling iguana territory as the temps are widespread in the 40s across Broward and Miami-Dade. I mean, that's South Florida.
Yeah, it should
not be 40 degrees in South Florida. She says they don't approach them. They become immobile when the temperatures drop, and they're not dead. Once the sun comes out, then they should start to move again, because obviously the temperature's getting colder at night.
Well, I'm looking at it now. It's 68 right now, but Saturday, 43. Sunday, 38.
Oh, my gosh.
In Miami. Yeah.
Right.
That's crazy. So, they're not used to that. They don't like 60s. I mean, 60s are cold to Florida.
There's a whole TikTok page that does all this Florida stuff. Apparently, what a couple people did when they were visiting Florida, they weren't from Florida, they took the iguanas and put it in the car, and then they were driving because they thought they were taking it back to an animal hospital. That woke up in the car and attacked the people in the car.
No.
It caused like a single car accident. Like they ended up swerving and hitting something.
Oh, my God.
And like they were okay. They were more injured, though, from getting scratched. Because
they're
not supposed to be in a damn car. Get me out of here. They got to scratch it every which way and pooping and stuff in the rental car.
That's like
the movie The Freshman. But with the Komodo dragon.
Yeah.
Carting around.
Yeah, so they say, so on the particular TikTok, they were saying if you're new to Florida, do not pick them up. And then they showed the clip of why, and the news people were like, yeah, such and such from New York came down to Florida for vacation in the rental car, and they put it in the car.
Oh,
and next thing you know, they crashed the rental car and had a bunch of scratches from the...
Imagine you go to Florida to escape the cold and that happens. What a waste. My God. That's terrible.
All right, this is a bizarre story. So a 25-year-old man was found stumbling around the streets of Maine recently carrying his own severed arm. So it turns out he had just been in a workplace accident. His arm had been cut off at the shoulder. So he's wandering aimlessly around because obviously he's probably in shock, but he's holding his own severed arm in his hands, walking around the streets of this small Maine town. Thankfully, a public works crew spotted him. There were some arborists who actually teach their own crews how to tie tourniquets from this public works crew. So they saw him, found him, grabbed him, tied a tourniquet, called the police. The police came, and they said that public works crew probably saved his life. Went to the hospital. He's supposedly in stable condition, but...
Wait a minute. What happened to the arm?
So it got cut off in a bandsaw accident. He was at a local store, and something happened. And I don't know if nobody was around, but he ended up, like, walking out of the store with his own arm in his hand.
What would they do with the arm?
I don't think a whole arm.
I don't know. It just says that he's hospitalized in stable condition. So.
They would have said if they did. I think they saved his life, but I don't think they saved.
But what a picture out of a
Kramer
horror
saved
story.
A pinky toe.
Yeah, no, that they can
well,
do.
Well, a pinky toe is different than your arm at your shoulder.
That thing severed. It cut everything.
Well, then what did they do? Put it in the trash?
No, they put a tourniquet on the guy.
No, the arm.
I don't know what they did with the arm.
I want to know what happened to the arm. It's odd. What do you do with the arm? You dispose
of
it?
I'm sure there's a way of disposing
it. I'm sure they took it to the hospital so they could do what they needed to do.
Yeah, but I think they'll give it to you.
What?
Like, they give you
send
a whole
you
bunch
home
of stuff.
With it?
Give me the arm.
Like your wisdom teeth? Like,
put it in formaldehyde?
I think, I don't know, but I think they'll give it to you if you want it. Most people don't want it.
Why would I want it?
Yeah, why would you want that?
Exactly, but I think they would give it to you if you really wanted it.
It's like, yeah, I'll rip your arm off and beat you over the head with it.
I know. With my own arm.
I hope they reattached it, because...
Oh, I'm sorry.
But your life is still worth it, though.
Yeah, in this day and age, maybe you can.
In this day and age.
I don't think they can. Huh? If it's severed like that, the saw... Apparently what happens, according to those... there used to be a show about loggers and stuff like that, like the guys that do logging.
Yeah.
It could get... if you wear certain clothes... If the clothes don't rip, it happens quick. You could be in the saw before you know.
Oh, sure, yeah.
The clothes don't rip in. Like, it's not like a tearaway suit. So your clothes getting caught in.
You're going with it.
And by the time you, like, realize what the heck's going on, that sharp thing has already cut you.
Y'all went in a totally different direction with that story
I'm thinking about the arm. I hope they can reattach the arm.
I'm picturing it in my head, walking down the sidewalk of this small little Maine town with this man walking around with his severed arm. Just straight out of a horror movie.
I'm not built for walking around without the arm. I would just sit down on the ground and say, well, I guess this is it.
I'm not walking around. I think he was literally in shock.
My shock would be like, well, let me text with my other hand, tell my wife it's all over.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm telling you, I'm not built for, like, that kind of adversity. Like, shark attacks, that kind of thing. I'm not built for that. Those people are much tougher, much stronger, much more, they're more everything than me to keep on going after an accident like that. Yeah. I would just give up on the spot.
There you go.
Not built for it.
I'm probably not either. Carry my own arm around.
No, me neither. I think he was just out of his mind. Probably just had no idea what he was doing. But quite scary if you saw that walking around those little streets.
If they reattached it, I don't know if he'd be able to even throw as hard as Jamie Moyer at that point.
Oh, Mike.
Yeah, that was horrible. All right, we're going to go to the 4 o'clock hour. Ashamed of myself.
You should be.
I
come on, man. What are you doing?
I'm going to toss the ball around with the kid, maybe.
Mike. Don't dig deeper.
You see Abbott and different people. You could still do stuff. They'll do a prosthetic at some point.
I hope they can reattach the arm for the guy.
Well, I don't know, if they're going to do that, but they might get him something to where he can still have other mobility, man.
I'll look for an update on the story later in the week.
But it wouldn't work right away even if they did. So, we'll have to do an update probably it takes a while. Even when they do a toe, that toe's just there for a long time. It has to get
the nerves.
It takes a long time. So an arm wouldn't just be good in a day.
Yeah. All right. What do you like?
Sometimes I just don't understand.
The arm is, I'm obsessed with the arm. You see what half of it. 4 o'clock hour is straight ahead. We got with Jason start coming up at 4:30?
Yes, 4:30.
4:30.
4:30.
All right, we still have Zach Brown tickets we're giving away on General Knowledge Wednesday. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5, The Fanatic.
All right, it's 4 o'clock hour.
Woo!
Mike Missinelli Show. General Knowledge Wednesday day, 4 o'clock hour brought to us by Landis Block, your one-stop shop to create a jaw-dropping outdoor paradise. Just check them out online at landisbc.com. Jason Starr is going to join us at 4:30. Talk some baseball issues. We usually go, pitchers and catchers reporting. They ain't reporting. Nobody reporting.
I'm starting to be a little bit optimistic.
Oh, you are?
A little bit.
Oh, all right. Well, we'll see how Jason feels about that. That's coming up. And, of course, Jimmy Rollins did get enough to stay on the ballot.
Mm-hmm.
But, fine. Man, that's low. 5%. See, I don't get this. 5%? He's got a really good candidacy for the Hall of Fame. He only got 5% of the vote.
Yeah, but they say with Bonds and Clemens and people falling off the ballot, and then once Roland goes in next year, he's not out of it. It was, and some people think, I agree, it was wrong that Howard fell off the ballot completely. Not that he should have got in first ballot, but rarely has a player been as dominant as him and been one and done on the ballot.
So, yeah.
Not that he was going to get in, but it's odd that he's just like, you can't get in now. Like, wait a minute, he wasn't MVP.
And the big thing, it's raised the issue again, should these journalists be voting for the Hall of Fame? Should it be players that are voting for the Hall of Fame? We'll talk with that with Jason. Yeah. Jason is obviously he's invested in this for a lot of years. So I'm sure he believes that the vote should stay the way it is.
Probably. I want to ask you, separate from the Hall of Fame, just in general, when you were doing baseball.
Yes.
And when you were doing sports writing, mm-hmm. college basketball, whatever it is. How many, I know writers are supposed to not put their personal feelings into it, but they're still human. What percentage do you think in your day put their personal things aside, and then what percentage now? Because I think it's changed.
I think we're more likely now to put their personal view in.
Than before.
I think back there was a semblance of professionalism, but because it's become so diluted with so many media outlets and so many younger people coming in, I believe it's changed a little bit. So I believe that personal dislike does enter.
And that's where I think that the Hall of Fame itself, not the media, not should come up with a different set of criteria to guide people. Like, if you have 700 home runs, I don't give a damn you put him in. Like, you almost tell him, like, here's our criteria. If you're X, I think that they may have to start doing that to remove what you're talking about.
Yeah, well, let's take the example of Curt Schilling.
Right. I think he's a Hall of Famer based on merit of baseball, in my opinion.
He dropped from this last year. So like, people, as he's gotten more active, people have disliked him more. And so you see your personal feelings come in, because you would normally, you wouldn't drop unless personal feelings came in.
Right. And I know he said, oh, don't vote for me. Yeah, whatever. In my opinion, I would not necessarily want to hear a speech from him, but I think based on baseball merit, postseason, everything you put together, to me, he is a Hall of Famer, even though I don't think very much of him. So if I had a vote, I'm voting for him. Even if he says don't vote for me, I'm voting for him because I think he's worthy, even though I don't think very much of him. Yet a lot of writers don't do that, and that's why I think there may need to be some more, this is the criteria, and now vote based on that criteria. It may not work, but maybe that helps.
All right, we'll talk to Jason about that. Meanwhile, General Knowledge Wednesday still continues, and Car Wash is our first call in 4 o'clock hour from Germantown. What's up, Wash?
Eminem, what's going on?
How you doing, man?
I've been good. Hey, Mike, man, I got to tell you, you know I always tell you this. I don't just throw it out there lightly. Man, you got the best show in the country, Talk Sports Radio, man. I love this show, man. Seriously.
Just the country? Not the world? Come on, Wash.
My bad. I
know.
My bad. I got to clean that up. Man, that's a violation. And Mike, you know who my favorite caller on your show is?
Exactly.
Just going to show you how much I listen to you every day. Last week, right, when you had my man on there, it's his voice and what he be saying. Come on, Mike. You're like, yo, tell the judge, man. I said, take that ankle bracelet off your leg. Let him know Mike said you a good guy. And then he's like, yeah, Mike, correct. When you do that, man, that's, man, I love it.
Yo, brother.
Yeah,
Arthur.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he be doing all that tough talk and all that. Yeah. I love that. I love his show. Hey, Mike, yes. This is what I need to talk to you about, though.
Yeah.
As much as I love Russell Wilson, phenomenal talent and all that, and I know you're going to think I'm crazy, Jalen Hurts, he's not the guy. He can't pass the football, so he's not the guy. But we got to figure out something else besides Russell Wilson. Because if you look at it now, I understand in the beginning when they won the first Super Bowl, you have to understand that a lot of that first Super Bowl, people were on horrible contracts. So a couple people was able to get paid really well, including him. And I just believe somebody like him that comes to a team, the money that his contract demands, it just makes me think of what Seattle is going through now, because they can't add nobody because of how much they...
Yeah, well, first of all, and we've talked about this before, the number here would be less cap-wise. Like, it wouldn't be the same. So it would be like 20, it could be $23 million, as little as that.
Yes, it's 37 in Seattle.
Yeah.
But it drops low. It's 37 in Seattle, but the signing bonus stays in Seattle, doesn't come to Philly.
Oh, I would do it then. 23, 22, all right.
Yeah, it could be from 23 to 27, it could account for.
I would do it. If you could take some of that money off there, I would do it, because then it doesn't bog down your team where you can add other players. And I wanted to ask, Lee, this is the reason why I said this. You know what I was thinking, Mike? After watching that Tampa Bay game, they really did a good job of taking Smith away. Do you think Smith would be better in the slot like Aguilar was, and then we get a better...
Nah. Nah, he's not a slot receiver.
But he,
he's so small. No, but he's wiry. He's not that small. He's got a good catch radius. So no, he's an outside receiver.
But it's hard for him to get kind of like open.
No, it's not. He was actually open a lot in that game, and the quarterback missed him.
So you think that's more?
Yeah, he gets open. Him getting open is not a problem. His route running is superior.
All right, so and you don't think that would be better suited? Like,
actually, no, I don't. Do not think it would be better suited in the slot. I don't think he's a slot receiver at all.
Okay, I was just wondering if you thought that, and maybe we might could get somebody else with it.
No, he's good. You get a veteran receiver to pair him with, a solid veteran guy, and that's going to improve their situation. All right, Car Wash, here's your general knowledge question.
I'm ready.
All right. Who recorded the songs Crocodile Rock and Rocket Man?
Rocket Man. Rocket Man.
This is supposed to be easy general knowledge. Who recorded the song Crocodile Rock and Rocket Man?
Oh, man. I
remember when Rock was young. Car wash, you're killing me.
I was disappointing.
That's very disappointing. That's Elton.
Good old Elton.
I do think that in some cultures, Rocket Man might come across, but Crocodile Rock's never getting played. Ever.
No. So. I hated that Crocodile Rock part of Elton John.
Yeah, it was a little funky.
Yeah, I didn't appreciate it. Yes. I'm more of a way back Elton John.
Yeah, me too.
Well, I mean, than a silly sunglasses cape Elton John.
Well, I'm okay with silly sunglasses. It's just that song is horrible. I mean, no disrespect, he has a hell of a catalog, but not that. That's
who was he in Crocodile Rock? Who was he having fun with?
Oh, I don't remember.
Well, I have to sing it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Remember when Rock was young?
Yeah.
Me and
Susie.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Booney got that.
Susie.
Of course, Booney got it.
Susie.
What are you doing? Holding hands and what? What else?
Something stones.
Skimming stones.
Yeah, just like that song, and then Paul McCartney, Jet.
This is why your affection for Paul McCartney. See, that silly crap that he went through, it turned me off to Paul McCartney.
See, no, like Band on the Run and some, but Jet is it's so bad that at a Paul McCartney concert, when he's killing it, when he gets ready, it seems like Jet's his favorite song. He gets super excited. Jet! Yeah, he gets all excited.
That's that Jingly Joe side
and
of Paul.
Nobody in the crowd cares.
Oh, I'd be rocking out to it.
No. I'm telling you, live, I'm there, and we go, Jet, all right, I guess
time to go to the bathroom.
Go to the bar real quick.
Get a beer.
Get a drink or something. Like, Jet is just, to me, it's his worst song.
Yeah.
And that he always, do something else twice before you sing Jet.
Andy of Bucks County. Andy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Andy.
Hey, good afternoon.
What's up, Andy?
I'm doing great. I got to agree with Car Wash. You guys get the best show.
Hey, thanks, Andy.
Yeah, you know, one of the reasons why I love your show so much is sometimes the non-sports talk, too. What's brewing with Jen with the iguanas. I lived in Key West for a few years, and they do fall out of trees. And it doesn't take 40, by the way. It could be a little bit higher than 40.
Yeah, I've been down there when that's happened, when they've had an epidemic of falling iguanas.
Oh, they close the public schools when it's like 60 degrees or something because they don't have heat. There's no heat in the schools.
Yeah.
And then Tyrone made me laugh earlier when talking about the Zac Brown and being the only non-Caucasian in the room. Now, I dated a woman of color for 10 years, and so I'm one of those guys that have been in those parties and family parties and rooms, and people don't know what they're missing.
People know what they're missing?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not giving any secrets away, but yeah, I mean, it's a good time.
Yeah, it's a good time.
Well, he's talking about, my wife has a good time. I'm talking about when she goes to the family. No, it's a good time. You end up being opened up to things that you're not used to, generally that is good.
Yeah.
It helps you in life to be around different types
Tyrone,
of things.
Yes, Tyrone, initially I used to tell my friends, I'm like, you're not going to believe this. Now, my lovely lady was from South Central Los Angeles, so I was at a few barbecues where I was like, you guys don't even know what good time I had last night.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's cool. Flyers point for you.
That's
Mike.
Cool. Like in the barbecue, you go to the barbecue. How did that work out for you?
Well, it was excellent. But the very, very first time, they made me be the bartender so I could meet everybody. I had to work the party.
That's either nice of them or they wanted to put you to work.
Well, yeah, because I met everybody and everybody loved me. Yeah, okay. I'm serving drinks.
All right. White man's here. White man goes to work.
Well, it wasn't quite like that, but yeah, okay, maybe.
All right.
But I was thinking about the Flyers and their terrible losing streaks and so forth. One of the things that worries me about this is that, you know, this is the reason why there's Cowboy fans in Philadelphia is because the Eagles were so stinky that these losers went to another winning team, and the generational concept of the Flyers fans. I think most Flyers fans are like 40 and over. I really don't believe there's a lot of young Flyers fans out there, and this losing business doesn't help it at all.
I disagree. I think there's a lot of young Flyers fans. They're all in pockets of this
city. I never hear them call your show.
Well, because they don't call the show because they feel like they're not welcome. But they are, actually. Yeah. No, there's a lot of young generations of fans still in the pockets where Flyer fans are prevalent. South Jersey, Northeast. Very prevalent. All right, man. Here's your general knowledge question. NFL team passing leaders. All right, so I want three, but I'll settle for two. The Bengals. The three all-time passing leaders for the Bengals. Give me two of them.
All right, I'll start with Boomer. Boomer Esiason.
Boomer Esiason is one of them.
All right, and then Bengals. Man, you could have given me a better one than a Bengals.
Yeah, Bengals is a guy still playing in the NFL.
Oh,
I handed that to you.
You didn't. You're still playing in the NFL. Oh, my God, I'm drawing a blank.
Yes, you are drawing a blank. Oh, my God. Well, the all-time leader is Ken Anderson. Second on the list, Andy Dalton. 31,594. And then Boomer at 27,000.
Yeah, they had a nice run from Anderson to Boomer. Because he was before Boomer, wasn't he?
Yeah, who, Anderson? Yes.
Yeah, it was Anderson, then Boomer.
Yes.
And then, Dalton, no. I mean, he played along. You were never going to win with
Ken
him.
Ken Anderson was Booby Clark era, wasn't he?
Was he?
I think so. I think when Booby Clark was the running back. Well, maybe Ken Anderson was quarterback. All right, so we're slacking. We're slacking in the 4 o'clock hour, and I thought that was a gettable one. So a couple open lines, 610-622-0975. Let's go to Jim in Northeast. Jim, you're on 97.5, The Fanatic. Jim.
What's up, guys?
What's going on, Jim?
How are you? I just got a real quick question. What do you guys think about this that James Harden coming to Philly?
I heartily endorse it.
James Harden coming to Philly.
James Harden, yes. I heartily endorse it. I like it.
Yes. I kind of like it too. Do you guys think he's a problem on the defensive end?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of think he's a problem on the defensive end, but I mean his scoring is elite. You know what I mean?
Yes, I think he would be great with Embiid. Yeah, I think that would give him a dynamic.
Yeah, I think Embiid. I think I feel sorry for Embiid right now, but I think his time's coming very shortly.
Yes,
I think we're going
to
get.
I actually think that, like, listen, I'm trying to read into this. The general manager seems to be too confident to me.
You think so?
So I think he's got the ace in his pocket.
Yeah,
I think there's a lot of things that connect he and James Harden. A lot of different factors, and I think that maybe he thinks he's got that in the offseason if he wants it.
Right. That they gave Trae Young the player of the week or the player of the month over Embiid or whatever it was.
Player of the week.
Yeah, player of the week. That's just insane to me. This Embiid is just having...
He's having a monster year, man. Monster year.
Yeah. He's my MVP.
I think he's got to be the MVP. I really, this Jokic stuff is.
Yeah, I think so too. Can I just give a shout out to Harrington's Irish Pub in Northeast Philly, the best bar in Northeast Philly?
No, you can't. Yeah, is that a Flyers bar? All right, is that a Flyers bar?
Is that a Flyers bar? Nah,
it's just a regular bar.
It's just a regular.
Sure, they like the Flyers back there. All right, let me give you a general knowledge question. Movies that are the something. So it starts with T-H-E. The.
What is it? Movies that are
movies that start with the.
The.
All right. So the Harvard law graduate takes a job with an evil Memphis law firm.
Evil Memphis law firm.
And it starts with T-H-E.
I have no idea.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me. Come on, dude. Come on now.
I'm getting disappointing answers today.
Come on.
The Firm, right?
Yes, The Firm. Tommy Cruise.
It's a shame. I used to hang out at that bar, by the way.
What bar? That bar in the Northeast?
In the Northeast, yeah.
Is it really?
Yeah, I lived down the street, so.
Really?
Yeah, it was my bar.
Huh.
Harrington's.
Flyer fans in there?
Yeah, I'm sure there were. That's where I watched pretty much every playoff game with McNabb leading up to the Super Bowl.
Wow.
Yeah, I watched the Super Bowl
there. Lived in the Northeast?
Oh, yeah, for a while.
Huh.
Yep.
All right. Been all around this globe.
Yes, I have.
The Firm, best part, Wilford Brimley as the evil security man.
It's your favorite part of that movie, that character.
He was a great character. Wilford Brimley. Remember?
Yeah.
Wilford Brimley.
Yeah, yes. He calls the new thing where they take stars in Hollywood and they do it when they hit the age that he was when they did, what was the movie they did?
Cocoon. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
So it'll be like, Jennifer Aniston is the age when Wilford, he was not that old. When that movie
no.
came out.
No. It's like the Golden Girls now. Like, the Golden Girls were not that old.
That old.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break. Jason Starr coming up in just a little while. I haven't talked to Jason in a long time, so we get some baseball issues out on the table. Meanwhile, 610-622-0975. You can grab your place on General Knowledge Wednesday. Mike Missinelli Show continues.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4:30, Mike Missinelli Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. At 4:30, time to get a Twitter poll update, which is brought to us by PoweredByMoyer.com with Jennifer Scordo. Jen?
Hello. Will the Flyers be contenders again? Right now, we have 5% at 1 to 2 years, 27% at 3 to 4 years, 31% at never, and 37 standing strong with after the Fletcher era.
All righty. So, not much. Listen, the press conference, I'm sure, was not heard by a lot of people. Flyer fans, I know they're right now, they're kind of tuned out. So, the guy who runs the show, Dave Scott, and the general manager, Chuck Fletcher, talked today and had some lame things to say. And I don't know how Flyer fans feel about it. They're just so beaten down, I guess.
Before Jason calls us back, here's one thing we haven't played so far that I think you care about a great deal, Mike.
All right, go ahead.
No, I think if you asked anybody in hockey ops, they would say nothing's changed. Talk to the old timers, people that are still with the organization. I think if you're on the outside looking in, maybe you're hearing some things and seeing it differently.
Yeah. The hockey ops, nothing's changed. You talk to the old timers. Well, that's the whole problem. Just shake my head at this stuff. And I don't know what to say. I mean, if the guy who runs the show doesn't know that there needs to be a fire hose to this thing right now, after losing 13 in a row, 1.10 in a row at another stage of the season, I don't know what to say. If you don't see that there's need for drastic change after that, when are you ever going to see it? Well, we'll play along. Anyway, Jay Starr's coming up in a little bit to talk some baseball issues. We just talked about The Firm, right?
Yeah.
And I stayed at that hotel in that movie, The Peabody.
I've been there. I've stayed there.
Yeah.
With the Ducks.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I stayed at the Peabody.
A very historic hotel.
It is a very historic hotel. And it's one of my great John Chaney stories.
Okay.
Yeah, I was down there covering, Temple was playing Memphis, and they had this brand new building called the Pyramid that they opened that year.
Yeah.
And their star player was Penny Hardaway.
Okay.
So, and Chaney was like a food freak.
Okay.
Right? So I check into the Peabody and, my hotel phone rings. As soon as I get in, my hotel phone rings. Well, who the hell? I pick it up. He goes, Mr. Nelly. I go, yeah. He goes, what are you doing? I go, nothing. He goes, let's go get some ribs at the Rendezvous.
Oh, the Rendezvous is good.
You know about the Rendezvous.
Oh, yeah.
He's going, they got the dry rub on the ribs in the Rendezvous. You never had good. Anything like the dry rub. I go, dude, I'll just be here for 10 minutes. So give me a chance to unpack.
I mean, they got some good food.
Yeah. Rendezvous was the place.
I have a bottle of the Rendezvous dry rub in my cabinet right now.
It's you.
Yeah. And I don't think the pyramid is the pyramid anymore, is it? Isn't it like a marketplace or something now?
Yeah, they have a new building. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. That was that brand new building was shaped like a pyramid.
Yeah.
All right, anyway, let's talk some baseball this year. A lot of stuff going on with the Hall of Fame voting, the lockout, where the Phillies are at this point. And we haven't talked to him in a really long time. The venerable baseball journalist in the Hall of Fame for all his contributions to this sport. He's on the Comcast Business Hotline. He works for The Athletic. His name is Jason Stark. Hello, Jason.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for calling while my sport is stuck in quicksand.
yeah, we haven't spoken in a while, so let's get some issues out on the table here. And the first thing is the Hall of Fame and the voting for the Hall of Fame. Ortiz gets in. A lot of controversy in other matters to the point where the age-old argument, should the writers vote, all that stuff. How do you process all this stuff? First of all, what about the results? What was your opinion of them?
I was pretty sure that David Ortiz was going to get in and nobody else was going to get in. And, you know, Mike, I don't think there's not a doubt that David Ortiz should be a Hall of Famer. He was a game-changing, franchise-changing, curse-changing figure. You know, the only question was whether, if you thought he was one of the PED guys, you know, you wouldn't vote for him. But it's incredible. In my column today, on the things we learned from the Hall of Fame voting, we looked at this, and almost two-thirds of voters who didn't vote for Bonds or Clemens or Manny Ramirez still voted for David Ortiz, which tells you they didn't think there was enough there to not vote for him for that reason. So now we can go back to arguing about Bonds, Clemens, and Schilling, right?
Yeah. Or they like David Ortiz. David Ortiz is a possible guy to dislike, I guess, right? Yeah. So, and so the criticism is that baseball writers get their personal feelings in there too much.
Yeah, I've heard this a million times. I can't speak for everybody. Look, human beings vote, and occasionally human beings will vote for people they like and not vote for people they don't like. Like, that's got to be a thing. We're all humans. I can just tell you that, look, I have voted for players who never spoke to me. I voted this time around for a player I'm not going to name who embarrassed me in public once about as badly as I've ever been embarrassed. And I voted for him. So I'm just voting on whether their careers made them Hall of Famers. Like it's not about me. Can I say that about every voter? I'm not going to say that. No.
Yeah, well, and no, you have integrity, obviously, and it's been your whole career you've exhibited integrity where you wouldn't do something like that. But there's a lot of mistrust out there in the public for the writers who do this. And so, and you know, even the ex-players, they pile on. I saw the Marcus Stroman comments.
Oh,
and, you know, all this stuff. You never played the game, the whole bit. So I'm curious to know where do you stand on this? Should it be altered at all? Or do you trust your brethren to do this?
You know, if somebody wants to change the system, I'm open to it. I never pretended that I have all the answers or we have all the answers. I just think if you really take a long look at the Hall of Fame, who's in it, and the players you think, how did that guy get in the Hall of Fame? Almost none of that type of player was voted in by us. They've been voted in by various veterans committees who got in a room and talked themselves into something or other and voted for their friends or whatever. It's really hard to get 75% in our election, or any election for that matter. Look, Curt Schilling topped 70% of the vote 2 years in a row. And if he was running for dog catcher, they'd say, wow, that's a landslide. If you're running for the Hall of Fame, we say, sorry, better luck next year. You know, so that 75% handles almost every issue that people raise, I think.
Okay, well, Schilling's a great example, though, because he got less than last year. The more he pollutes himself, the more the personal opinion can come out against him. And I think that's what people point to.
I know. Look,
and believe me, I'm not advocating that he goes in. Don't get me wrong.
I voted for him this year. I voted for him last year. I voted for him for many years now. On the premise, I'm not voting for mayor.
Yeah. So where do you?
Hall of Fame player.
I get
that's
it.
Why
so
I vote for it. And the reason he didn't get the votes this year, why he lost 50 votes, is he said he didn't want the writers to elect him. And like, what's the worst way to attract votes? Tell the voters you don't want them to vote for you.
Yeah, well, it didn't work. It didn't work out for him. So where do you stand currently then on the Bonds issue, the Clemens issue, and the A-Rod thing? Because he didn't fare well at all.
Yeah, Alex Rodriguez, 34% of the vote, and it's going to be a long 10 years dealing with him, you know. But if you get back to me in 2031, when he, you know, his last year, then we can start looking ahead to a world beyond PEDs. On Bonds and Clemens, I didn't vote for him all 10 years, but I have voted for them a bunch of years in a row now. And I'll be honest, Mike, I woke up this morning thinking about this. Like, Barry Bonds is the greatest player I ever saw play baseball. Roger Clemens won more Cy Youngs than any pitcher who ever lived. I just worry, in 100 years, in 500 years, whatever it is, how are people going to walk through the Hall of Fame and explain to their kids, yeah, the guy who hit more home runs than anybody ever, he's not in the Hall of Fame. The guy who won the most Cy Youngs ever, he's not in the Hall of Fame. Hey, that guy who got the most hits ever, Pete Rose, nah, he's not in the Hall of Fame either. Like, what kind of Hall of Fame do we want? Like, we as voters had a chance to answer that question and put the greatest players of our time in. I guess we answered it. But like, I think we have lost an opportunity to shape what the Hall of Fame will be moving forward.
All right, let's go quickly to Jimmy, and he got enough votes to stay on the ballot. I thought it was a surprisingly low number of her. I'm pro Jimmy in the Hall of Fame, and I don't understand how more people aren't. What's your feeling on this?
I was worried that he wouldn't even get 5% and stay on the ballot when I voted. In fact, it was when I published my vote on, let's see, this was Friday. We knew he needed 20 votes to stay alive. I was the 20th vote, so I felt good about that. He wound up nearly doubling that, right? 37, I think he got. So he lives to see another day. I just think Jimmy, to me, is one of the most interesting candidates that we've ever had. Here's the question that I asked in the column I wrote about this 2 weeks ago in The Athletic. Is there still a place in the Hall of Fame in this day and age for players whose skill sets don't fit how the modern metrics crowd defines greatness now? You know, Jimmy, there's never been a shortstop ever who had Jimmy Rollins' career. Nobody. 2,400 hits, 400 steals, 200 homers, 800 extra base hits, 4 gold gloves, 1 an MVP, got the most hits in the history of his franchise, was the centerpiece energizer of a team that won the World Series. That sounds like a Hall of Fame case to me. And yet, people look at a lot of modern metrics, wins above replacement. Jimmy doesn't come out looking real good in that. OPS Plus compares his offense to the average player. He comes out as a below-average offensive player. And yet, we watched him play, Mike. I wrote this. Jimmy had that thing. He made people believe. I had a coach say to me one time, I just look at Jimmy, and I think we're going to win. Mike, what is that worth? It's worth something that none of those other numbers can quantify.
Yeah, people love that WAR, I'll tell you that. All right, so let's get to now quickly to the crux of this labor issue. And what do you think? Do you feel things are shaking loose at all?
Yeah, I think you can start to see where they're headed. How fast they'll get there, I don't know. Like, if I had tickets to go to Clearwater on February 16th, I don't know if I would call the airline, see if you could drive March 16th. Here's the way I try to describe it to people. Like, I've covered enough labor. I'm still scarred by covering the strike in 94-95. And when you do play-by-play, you're missing the big picture. You really need to climb up to the upper deck, and you can see the field from there. I see a lot of areas where there's a deal to be made. Like, they agree that on universal DH, right? They agree they should expand playoffs. They're trying to figure out tanking. Like, they agree there should be some kind of draft lottery. They agree they should increase the minimum salary. They've agreed to eliminate draft picks for free agents. There's a lot there that can lead to a deal when you're ready to make one. The problem is, right, when you go back down courtside, you can see how much each side wants to win every point. That's a problem. Like, we need compromise and deal making. We don't need either side to think they need to win. And that's what I worry about. It could take on a life of its own. But there's definitely been movement this week that's encouraging.
All right. That sounds good. I don't know if that means we're going to get to spring training. But it sounds good.
Spring training. I'm telling you that.
Jason, always a pleasure, man. Good to touch base with you.
You too, Mike.
All right. We'll talk to you.
Thanks, Ben.
Jason Stark on the Comcast Business Hotline. Well, he seems optimistic. It's just movement.
That's promising.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, they did some movement. Quick note before the break. Next Friday, the Sixers play Dallas. A week from Friday, that game is now a 10 o'clock game in Dallas. Got flexed to ESPN.
Oh, okay.
There was going to be an 8:30 game there on regular TV.
10 o'clock game, huh?
10 p.m. now at
it's
Dallas.
It's still in Dallas?
Yeah, at Dallas. Yeah.
I thought I saw that it moved to Philly.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, I read wrong often, so
no.
Don't believe me.
I don't think they would do Dallas.
Time. Yeah,
I thought the same thing. I was like, okay, well, why would they move it to Philly? But
I like a 10 o'clock game.
10 o'clock
on a Friday.
Philly?
Yeah,
on a Friday is good. Yeah.
No, that game's not in Philly, right?
No, game's in Dallas.
Yeah, it's in Dallas.
It'll be 10 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah,
so it'll be nine.
Oh, okay, that's probably what it meant. Yeah,
yeah, that's what
that makes more sense.
All right, let's take a break. It's a quick break. We're back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
4:49, Mike Missinelli Show. Ridiculously easy questions coming your way on General Knowledge Wednesday. So we may be able to make that goal anyway.
We need six.
Today. We need six.
Six.
Yeah, six five. More?
Yeah, we only have two.
We only have two winners.
We only have two.
Oh, okay. General Knowledge Wednesday presented by Testa North America. The choice of HVAC tax accountant having the most accurate, reliable, high-tech measurement tools in their toolbox, when precision measurements matter, be sure with Testo. We go to John in Newcastle. What's up, John? Hello,
hey,
John.
Mike.
What's going on,
hey,
buddy?
Sir.
How you doing?
Sir, hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Hey, I want to talk a little bit about Russell Wilson, if I could.
Yes, sir.
To me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, I think what happened in New Orleans makes me want to go after him even more, because I was a team that I was a little worried about that mm-hmm. could try to go after him. But now that Peyton's out of there, take them off. You know, they're not going to go after him. I like what Tyrone said a couple weeks ago. Two number ones and a number two next year. Get it done. I mean, you still have your whole draft this year. You still have your whole draft next year. You got your quarterback for the next 5-7 years. Anybody that thinks 33 is old, just look. I mean, come on, man.
Not for a premier quarterback. It's not old.
Yeah, you know? That guy's going to play for another 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, I mean, he's figured out a way not to get creamed. I think he's going to be. He's a great athlete. I think he's going to be around for a good 4 years.
I would be disappointed if they didn't make a run at him. I think they will. Whether, you know, we'll never know if they don't get him, how hard they tried. But I'd be disappointed. The other thing I would say is, after watching those quarterbacks this weekend, if we're not going to go after and get a guy like that, I would take a flyer on somebody. You got three number ones. You have two or three. You have your whole draft. Pick two defensive players, move back in the first round. I'm taking a flyer on somebody.
Grab a quarterback. Well, as we were talking about the other day, if you take a guy that's really raw but has arm strength, you know?
Yeah, you didn't blow it. Like, if you take a quarterback this year, but you draft two other number ones and you have your whole draft, if a guy doesn't work out, it's not like a Wentz trade where you just gutted your whole draft for him.
Yeah.
If the guy doesn't work, you got to throw as many darts as you can at the board. Now, I think a guy you can get later on that I like, I don't know, a lot of people like him or not. I like the kid from North Carolina, but I don't know. I mean, I think he's a gamer. I think you can get him in the second round, but.
Yeah, I think he's a gamer, too. I'm not so sure that, like, he's not like Trubisky.
Yeah, well.
You know, Trubisky was a gamer, you know? I went to more, like, guys that just have, you know, like, they stand out with their talent. You know, and he's all right. He's nice. He's okay. But he's Trubisky-esque to me. Yeah, that's the kid we're talking about. Yeah. That kid there. Yeah, maybe he's worth a shot.
The trouble with him is, after he throws the ball around in his pro day, he'll be a top 15.
Well, and that's the thing, because you know that's going to happen. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, the Eagles can move into a spot if they really like that guy. All right, man, here's your general knowledge question. Vocabulary words that end in man, M-A-N. This should be very easy. One who films dangerous scenes in place of a famous actor.
A stuntman?
Yeah, see? We're making this category a little too hard. Stuntman, or stuntman, as we would say.
Stuntwoman?
There you go.
Is there?
I think so, but I
mean, there are females that do it. But
I don't know what they, just like actresses, you really say actor for both anymore. I don't know if you say stunt woman or not. I don't know the actual proper word. If there's any stunt woman out there that wants to help us, we really would like to know the actual proper term. I don't want to be
correct,
but I honestly don't know it.
This was with Brad Pitt in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Yes.
It was a role. Great role for Brad.
Tremendous. It really was.
Yeah. 610-622-0975. And so we got Spanky lead off the 5 o'clock hour. It's coming up. Don't miss it. Don't go away. We're back.
The Mike Missinelli Show. It's 97.5, The Fanatic.
5 o'clock hour. Mike Missinelli Show on the General Knowledge Wednesday. Snow's coming. You can tell this weekend. Gonna hit. 5 o'clock hours brought to you by Guided Door and Window. Take advantage of Guided Door and Window's big winter sale through the month of January. Get 40% off all windows and doors. Call 1-877-GO-GUIDE or visit goguida.com. The name, the Phantom, came up. Somebody guessed the movie, The Phantom, earlier, right?
Yeah, somebody sent me the Blu-ray cover.
It's on right now. It's on Max Extreme.
Oh, all right.
Phantom.
Never heard of it.
Apparently came out in 2000.
A purple costume superhero, Billy Zane, tries to thwart a master criminal, Treat Williams' acquisition of mystical skulls. There you go.
Billy Zane?
Billy Zane is the guy who was in Titanic.
Yeah, he was the...
I know the name,
like,
but I can't
the bad
picture.
Guy, the dark hair guy.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. Okay.
Yeah, handsome guy. Yeah, I think he lost all his hair.
He was...
His hands at one point used to get a lot of rolls early on.
Before he lost all his hair.
I found out that he was second place in Dirty Dancing.
Oh, is that right?
Had it not been Swayze, it would have been him. There is video footage I've seen of him dancing with Jennifer Grey.
Really?
Like through the rehearsals and stuff, it came down to Swayze and him because Jennifer Grey and him didn't like each other in real life. Swayze and they didn't like each other
right,
in real life.
Yeah.
But they had chemistry on film, so they went with Swayze. But if Swayze had said no, or got a bigger role or something like that, it would have been Billy Zane.
How about that?
And the movie would not have been as good.
No.
Yeah, he always played this like sinister, snide guy. And he was a handsome guy.
Yeah.
And then it went bad with the mop.
Yeah.
And then he lost his, he was a heartthrob type of guy.
Wait, just what happened with his hair? He didn't just lose, like, you know.
Completely.
Just went bald.
He just went bald.
Yeah.
He's still handsome.
Well, I mean, but he was dashingly, with the hair.
He had good hair.
Yeah, he had all those dashing roles back in the day.
I've never seen him as a dancer, so I guess he can, though.
I don't know how good he was. But you can watch it on Netflix, the movies that made it.
Oh, my brother told me about that series.
Yeah,
that's great.
They talked all about that movie.
Okay,
I need to watch it. They actually showed the footage of him doing the dances with her, so it could have been him doing the lift and all that jazz.
How about that?
All right, well, anyway, the Phantom's movie, I didn't know anything about it. There's two open lines, 610-622-0975. Spanky Cobbs Creek joins us. What's up, Spank?
What's up, Mike? And, I was on hold for a little while. I was trying to fix my alarm. I thought you already got to me already. Sorry about that.
That's all right. Go ahead, man.
So, Mike.
Yes.
I know you keep telling me this, and I know I keep beating the dead horse, Mike. But I've listened to all these reports and stuff about this James Harden stuff. But I want to ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
Why would the Nets do a sign and trade and make us stronger? I don't understand that. You think they would really do that?
Well, he doesn't want, if he doesn't want to be there, you know how that works. If he doesn't want to be there, you're going to talk yourself out of there, and they're going to have to make the best deal possible.
Mike, you think Daryl Morey has some type of inside, like, wink-wink type of thing?
Yes,
like,
I do. I actually think I do. He's very close to James Harden. I was just reading something about Michael Rubin being a friend of James Harden. And, they got these kind of connects.
Because I'm getting frustrated, Mike, man. I know I keep talking about it. I know you keep telling me, Spanky, relax. I mean, we got to hold on to this cat till the next year. But I don't know, Mike, man. I'm just getting frustrated, man.
I mean, I know you're frustrated, but at this point, you got to be realistic. Is somebody going to grab Ben at this late date?
No, but Mike,
and give you, like, the haul that you want?
But I mean, I just hope he make a deal to get another scorer in here to help this dude.
If they get Harden, how are you feeling about that?
No, I'm not talking about, we got to wait till next year just to get rid of Ben. I'm cool. But, Mike, I just don't want them to waste. We're not going to get out of the first round probably with Embiid having to carry us like that. I don't want that to happen.
Okay, what's the alternative? You make a deal and you get a couple guys, but you're still not going to win the East. And then what?
I don't want us to get knocked out in the first round, Mike. That's going to be wasting this dude. This dude, I can't believe that Embiid is sitting there saying,
"Well, he's gonna have many years left." If you get Harden in the off season, how much have you wasted?
No, what about now, Mike? I'm talking about the day.
Well, this year you'll just have to burn it off like a star that burns through the sky. You go, all right, well, we couldn't do enough. But then, like a couple months later, you get Harden and you come in the next year and you go, well, like, what are you wasting? You're still in the prime.
Well, Mike, let me ask you a question. You mean to tell me, Mike, we know each other for a dub right now. You mean to tell me you okay with just, like, right
I
now?
I gotta be because I don't want an inferior deal. I just don't. I don't want an inferior deal. I'm willing to just go, okay, it didn't work out this year, with the hope of getting a substantial deal that really makes you better.
But, Mike, you can do that in June when you out. You can't do that in January when this dude is playing out of his mind.
I don't know what you want me to do about it. If there's no deal that's appealing, what are you going to do? Just make a deal?
No, so let me ask you a question. You think they can get some pieces for Danny Green?
Yeah, I think I don't think it's going to be that substantial, but I think it's going to be somebody to help some.
All right,
it's going to be like there's got to be somebody who can shoot it or somebody who's a little more athletic, or, you know, something like that.
That's what I'm talking about, Mike. I'm cool.
I think he's going to do that. He's been known to do that. He talked about it on this show. He said, "Well, I'm usually good at the trading deadline to add people."
All right,
man. Here's your general knowledge question, Spank. Right, okay. NFL team passing leaders.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to give me two of the three all time passing leaders for the Seattle Seahawks.
I'm going to say Russell Williams.
Russell Wilson is number one. Can you name one other?
What is the other guy's name? Not Steve DeBerg. I can't think of it.
Maggie, wasn't that long ago? You got it, Ty?
It wasn't that long
number
ago.
Number two, not that long ago. He's on television now.
Hasselbeck.
Matt Hasselbeck is two.
How about that?
Is David Craig in that mix?
David Craig is three.
So that would have won him. Would have won two.
Yes, David Craig or Matt Hasselbeck would have got the dub.
Hasselbeck was a good quarterback.
He was 29,434 yards.
He was
for
a
them.
Good quarterback. Didn't he start in Green Bay?
Yes,
and then got traded there because Favre was never retired.
Yep.
He was the first guy, and then Rodgers was the second guy.
Yeah, Hasselbeck, wow. Yeah. Thomas in Newtown Square, you're on 97.5 Fanatic. Thomas.
Hey, Mike, how's it going?
What's up, Thomas?
Not much. I watched that Sixers game last night. You know, I'm glad they won. They struggled. I don't know, what is it with you know, being home and you know, playing better on the road? It has nothing to do with the COVID.
It's just a weird quirk. I don't know. You know, this COVID would have had to stay in and did it like on the road. I don't know. Maybe they bond better. Who knows?
Yeah.
I don't know. I just think it's coincidental.
Yeah. And then the whole Simmons thing.
Wait. That's the L.A. Clippers. Are you kidding me? After what they did here, they erased how do you erase a 35-point lead? That's incredible. All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Ty Luke, coach.
You know, and the whole Simmons thing, you know, Embiid, he is playing out of his mind, and we can't get peanuts. I understand that for him, but it's like we need someone now. We can't wait till the off season. You know, he's playing extremely well to where we need to get somebody in here fast.
Yeah, but that's the wrong thing. Getting someone in fast doesn't necessarily mean getting someone in to win the East.
Yeah.
So what would be the point? If you can't win the East by bringing in a guy, then what's the point of it?
Yeah.
I got to get you thinking here.
Yeah.
I know you want like immediate help, but two questions. Yeah. Are you going to get enough help to win the East? The answer probably is unlikely.
Mm-hmm.
So then what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I like the Kings. I mean, the Kings aren't offering anything, right? Or are they?
You probably can make a deal with the Kings, but suppose you get Halliburton, you get Hield. Is that enough to win the East? Are you satisfied with that? And then you've gotten rid of Simmons, so forget Harden. So that's where you got Rye with Buddy Hield and Halliburton. Now, is that enough? See, that's the point that Daryl Morey was trying to make. All right, I make that deal. That turns out to be not enough. Now Ben's gone, and I can't get the star.
I got you.
All right, man, here's your general knowledge question.
Okay.
Movies that begin with T-H-E.
Okay.
Three men must piece together the forgotten events of their epic Las Vegas basketball.
The Hangover.
There it is, bang! A layup for Thomas.
Yeah, it was easy. Most of them have been easy today, though.
Yeah, this is very easy categories today.
Yeah.
Bob in Westchester, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bob.
Yes. How you doing?
Good, Bob. How you doing?
I just very emotional with that overtime NFL game when Kansas City won the toss. Mm-hmm. I didn't watch the overtime. I said, who wins the toss is going to win. And they got to change the overtime rules. It's just it was unfair for the Bills.
Well, no, it wasn't. Let me ask you this. Were the Bills helpless on defense?
Well, yeah, both teams were helpless on defense in the fourth
quarter. Well, but still, still have a semblance of control. All you got to do is stop them.
Well, if the Bills won the toss, Kansas City wouldn't have stopped the Bills. I've always been pissed about the overtime, the way the NFL does the overtime.
All right, well, how about this? Chiefs win the toss. You hold them in the red zone. They kick a field goal. Then are you chirping?
Well, I just don't like the way they have. I think both teams should have an opportunity to have the ball.
Okay, well, you hold them to a field goal, you get the ball.
Yeah, but
that's what the overtime rule is.
That's exactly what happened.
Well, they didn't get the ball back because they scored a touchdown. So you have the opportunity to stop them to get the ball back on a punt, or stop them so they kick a field goal.
Okay, well, I'll put it this way. If the Bills won the toss, do you think Kansas City would have stopped back?
I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is it's still within your control to stop the other team.
Kansas City would not have stopped the Bills.
Well, but I get it, but it's not like they don't have the opportunity to stop them.
That's true. I agree with that, but the rules got to be changed so both teams get the ball.
Okay, they're probably going to tweak it. But you're making it more one-sided than it really is, because the other team still can have their defense out there to stop them.
Yeah, but with the way that fourth quarter went, I even said it. I said to my son, whoever wins the toss is going to win this game.
Well, guess what? You were right. You're telling me you turned off that game. Don't lie to me.
I didn't watch one play. Wait.
Because Kansas City won the toss, you stopped watching the game?
Yes. I knew they were going to win. I told him before the toss.
Yeah, but why would you stop watching the game? Wait a minute. Let me get this straight.
Whoever wins the toss is going to win this game.
You're a Bills fan then?
No, I'm not.
Well, how could you stop watching the game then?
Because I knew they were going to win.
Well, so what? So if you knew they were going to win, why wouldn't you watch them win?
I could watch the replay if I wanted.
I don't get you, man. This is a very weird explanation.
I was disgusted.
How could that disgust you that much? I can see where youth want to change, but why would it disgust you?
Exactly the way that game went. To have somebody win on a coin toss is just unfair.
Yeah, but they didn't win on a coin toss, Bob. They had to move the ball down the field against a defense. They didn't say, oh, hey, you heads, game's over.
Yeah, that's right. The way that one game went the last
Bob, you're killing me. But I'm going to give you a general knowledge question anyway. You ready?
Yes, sir.
All right. Vocabulary words that end in M-A-N, man. All right? Person who loads and unloads ships.
Loads and unloads ships.
Yes. A something man.
Cargo man?
You're glad he got it wrong.
Poor quality. Horrid. So I hope he gets it wrong.
If you watched season 2 of The Wire, you would know it was longshoreman.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Longshoreman.
I didn't have that one either.
So
My issue was
the rule used to be you could kick a field goal, and people didn't like that. They said,
"Yeah, that's sudden death, the old sudden
right,
death."
Right, and that was like that for years, 30 years. That was the rule.
Yeah,
they changed it to where it has to be a touchdown. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to hold a team. Like that part, I'm glad you.
You're allowed
that
to hold a team to on downs or to a field goal.
Right, competitive
it's
nature.
Also, correct. There's also one thing that people are going to lead to the just saying they should each get the ball. In that game, let's say that caller's right, and the teams are just going to score. So the Chiefs go down, score. Then Buffalo goes down and score. So the Chiefs get the ball back. And then the Chiefs go down and score again. What do you do then? They don't want the games to go forever.
That's why it's not a simple fix. My compromise to me is you lose the toss, that other team scores the touchdown, they kick an extra point. The other team gets a chance. You then, if you score, have to go for two.
Right, but the issue there is they didn't get an opportunity The first team said going to complain and say, well, wait. Had I known that they were going to get a two-point conversion, then I would
have gone for two.
Right.
But they would be prohibited from going for two. They won. The trade-off is you win the toss, but you can't go for two.
Okay, I see.
And the other team then would have to outpoint you.
Yeah, and then something about that, then I guess you defer in overtime every time to go second.
Maybe.
Well, you would because you want to have the
man. Maybe you don't have you don't have a choice to defer. The team that wins the toss gets the ball.
So you want to lose the toss then? Because you want to always be the team that has the ball last.
Right.
So if you win the toss, you got to be able to defer. Or you didn't win anything. You actually winning the toss, you're screwed.
Yeah, I guess.
So you got to be able to defer. So now that coin toss becomes important. Now your defense still does have a chance to stop you from getting the touchdown in two, but you want to have the ball last always.
And you know the thing with me is that I didn't want that game to end. I was completely opposite of that guy, the last caller. I didn't want the game to end. I wanted them to just keep going back and forth, back and forth. Yeah. I understand that that's not reality. But
here's the thing. If you win the toss and you go down and go for two and miss it, then you're opening the window for that team to go down and just win it with an extra point.
Right.
So would you go for two?
No, but I wouldn't want the ball. I would always defer. I want to go second. Whatever you do, I didn't know what I can do, and I can go win this game. Or worst case, but then if you go for two, what the league is up against is they don't want to just play another quarter.
Yeah,
because they think that the players physically.
Yes.
So if you go down and go for two, let's say first, and then somebody else comes down and ties you, they don't want to go to the thirds. They don't. They want to keep it to two if they can.
Yes.
If they can.
What I'm saying, the first team that gets it, why would you go for two when you know that the other team's got to get the ball back and they can then merely win it on an extra
point? Right, you would likely kick an extra point, but then winning the toss means you would defer because you want to go second is really the deal. Yeah.
Dave in Bucks County, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, Mike, can you hear me?
Hello, Dave. How are you?
Hey, Mike, Ty, and Jen. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Good.
Great. I didn't get a chance to watch your show last night, but I plan on it next week. How did it go?
Oh, the cookie show went well. It's a very interesting little tale. It went smoothly, more smoothly than I could ever imagine. So I did it 45 minutes. I closed it down. No injuries. You see I'm wearing a Band-Aid here, Jen?
Yes,
I get off the call, and I realize that I didn't chop a half of an onion. And I've got the chili going. So I got to finish this onion. And in chopping that half of the onion, I sliced my thumb.
Oh, no. At least it didn't happen.
Unbelievable.
See, I was going to ask you about that, but I thought you would just tell us. Because I thought it'd be me, because I was the one saying to watch your knife work.
Yes, and my knife work on the camera was spectacular. And I got sloppy because I'm trying to cut this onion. I'm off the air now, and I just got this onion because it's stinking up. And I chop it real fast.
Naturally sharp.
Right, and I chopped it right, and it went through, and I'm off. Damn it. And I only had three Band-Aids left in my whole house. I used all three of it because it was coming out a lot.
Oh, no. See,
I'm glad you didn't do it on camera, but I'm not glad it happened at all. Make bigger cuts so you don't cut your finger. That was my whole point.
No, it was my onion. It was my onion cutting technique where I cut it like an orange in sections, and then you make two diagonal slices in it. So then when you come over the top, it's already like completely chopped. It's a technique.
But
the knife slid through more than I expected on the diagonal, and I had my thumb in the wrong place.
You saw it on Chopped. Whenever somebody's going fast on Chopped, they
get hurt.
Oh, no, they got to wear gloves.
I go, can you believe this? I survived the whole thing, and now I cut myself. Anyway, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, that's funny. I think you're on such a natural high from a successful show. You had Chopped.
Yeah, it was cool. It went very well. We had some people there, and we took people were on. And it was funny. You took questions. Like, you popped somebody up on the screen. It was fun.
Yeah, you got to be careful with chopping hubris, though.
Yeah, I hear you.
I'm calling about the Flyers in the press conference today. It's being rightfully ridiculed as it should be, and I think you're not getting a lot of Flyers response because there's a feeling of hopelessness.
You're probably right.
I don't see any logical way out of. You know, now we have Fletcher trying to keep his job, and he's going to make some tweaks or whatever, and then next year we're going to have a healthy team that's going to, you know, win like 7 in a row, then lose 10, and, you know, they're the Sixers before the process, and it's unfortunate because I know that's not going to happen with them.
Listen, I didn't like what I heard from the so-called owner today. I don't know if he's in touch, to be honest with you. I think you have to have an owner that, like, I almost like, boy, I'm sorry, that guy's not Lori. Because at least Lori gets involved and he knows when something's messed up.
Yeah, it was funny because as soon as Dave Scott handed it off to Cliff Fletcher, you know what he talked about? Keith Yandel and his streak.
Wait, no, that seemed to be the theme on the broadcast again last night. I'm listening to the Keith Yandel stuff and I'm going, come on, man. Oh, yeah, I'll respect to Keith Yandel. That's such a subplot.
Totally. Before the question, just with the Sixers, I'm all about Harden now, and I'm going to be disappointed if we don't get him. We could have the best duo in the league for the next 3-4 years.
Well, I think this guy's confident he's going to get him, so we'll see. All right, man, here's your general knowledge question. Who wrote the Harry Potter series of books?
Oh, J.K. Rowling.
Correctamundo. That's why it's called Easy General Knowledge.
And on the other side, that was a good one. I think a person on social media may have solved the overtime issue.
Oh, really?
I'm dead serious.
Got an idea?
It's an idea that I would like to run by both of you.
Oh, awesome.
That I honestly think is
fair.
You're
not often impressed by somebody on social media.
No.
That's so true.
I am very impressed by this. I think this person may have solved the NFL overtime.
Oh, good. I can't wait
to hear it. So don't go away, folks. We'll take a break back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic. The biggest names in Philly sports talk are on 97.5 The Fanatic. The Sean Kincaid Show.
The Sixers have some sort of a mental block at home. Tobias Harris, Danny Green. I wonder if there's some negativity with this fan base that has affected their play. Is there any chance that the 76ers locker room is blaming the fans for the Ben Simmons side?
Anthony Gargano.
The fact that Joel Embiid is in our town. We've seen the evolution of greatness. This is what we all thought, that it would click and that he would have immense pride, and something else would have to click, but he would bring it every night.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
The bottom line is, Chuck Fletcher should not be the general manager anymore. This is an epic collapse, an embarrassment that makes the Flyers, proud franchise, one of the worst franchises in the league, which is hard to do. I mean, they're at the bottom. They are rock bottom.
Today on The Fanatic.
Brought to you by Philly Pretzel Factory, the official pretzel of the Philly sports fan.
97.5 The Fanatic. Philadelphia.
It's time for the final Twitter poll numbers. And, of course, the Twitter poll is brought to us by PoweredByMoyer.com. And, listen, snow's coming. So I hope your gear is ready for whatever winter brings. That's where Powered by Moyer comes in. They carry thousands of OEM and aftermarket parts and accessories for outdoor power equipment from brands like Husqvarna, Honda, MTD, and more. No wonder they have an accessory for my snowblower, like a cup holder. Like, would that be an accessory?
I guess it could be. That's a great idea.
Yeah, you have a little coffee.
I don't believe
it. I wasn't thinking coffee at all.
Something that vibrates and stuff, yeah, I don't think on a cup holder.
Would not be an accessory.
I was thinking alcoholic, not coffee.
Well, yeah.
You don't spill booze with the thing.
Why don't you get an adult sippy cup?
What would be an accessory? Like, yes, for a snowblower. They carry accessories.
Oh, well, like, it might have like a shovel attachment or something like that.
Okay.
Like where, you know, I don't know, like a plow attachment?
Yeah, at first thing I thought it was like a cup holder.
That's funny.
Anyway, you can order online at PoweredByMoyer.com. All right, Jen Scordo, final numbers today.
All right, when will the Flyers be contenders? We are well over 1,000 votes on this one. Right now, final voting, 4% say 1 to 2 years. 27% say 3 to 4 years, 32% say never, and 37 standing strong there, 37% say after the Chuck Fletcher era.
Listen, man, I don't mean personal against the guy. You just haven't done a good enough job. I mean, if you're rock bottom and your resume has a 13-game losing streak and a 10-game losing streak, it didn't work. You got to clean it.
I mean, I agree. I mean, I want him to still get his money.
Well, yeah, whatever. Get your money.
No. Like, I'm saying without that, I don't want, like, his family to have to miss a meal or something. Yeah. But at this point, we kind of know, don't we?
I think so. You're going to fire the coach. Like, how's the general manager skate? You know, if you're going to make changes, let's make changes here.
Yeah, you only should fire the coach if you think the talent's good enough, and the talent is not. You shouldn't fire only the coach.
I agree.
Now, here was this person's idea for solving NFL overtime. The
overtime, new overtime.
Yes.
All right, what do you got?
Now, he's the Dalai Lama on Twitter. All right. So the team that scores first, now we know pick six, safety, et cetera, you lose the game. We know that.
Uh-huh.
Let's say you go down and score a touchdown in 4 minutes and 12 seconds.
Yeah.
The other team gets the ball, and on the clock is 4 minutes and 12 seconds. If they score a touchdown in less time, they win. If they don't, game over, go home.
Hmm.
So each team touches it.
Yeah.
If you punt, then they obviously it's sudden death at that point because you had your chance. Mm-hmm. If you throw an interception, whatever, it's, I'm saying, this is how you would change if you score a touchdown. You scored in 5 minutes. They got to score in 5 minutes or then it's game over. Because the key is they don't want to play full extra quarter. Hmm. To me, it's creative. It's still football. You're still kicking off. So if you get a big kickoff return and you get it to the 50 and you score in 2 minutes, now the other team, you kick it deep. They got to score in 2 minutes or it's game over. They each touched it. They scored quicker. Done. To me, that's I would do that.
A simple, innovative way to fix it.
And it's still football. It's not a two-point contest like they do in college where after a certain amount, each team touches it if you score a touchdown. And now, if your defense stinks and they score in 1 minute, now your offense got to score in 59 seconds or you lose.
Wow.
I like
it. Very creative, very exciting.
It is, right?
That's what I'm saying. It's creative, and now it's must-see, and each team touches it. So now you can't complain and say, yeah, well, the Chiefs scored in 90 seconds, but my team would have scored in it. No.
It's a great idea, but it's too radical for the NFL to accept.
You think?
Why?
Yeah, I think it's radical.
To me, it's not.
They don't like radical stuff.
Because you're still kicking off.
But it's exciting. That's what I'm saying. You're not doing,
it's very exciting.
You're not doing anything non-football. The only difference is the clock counts up on the first drive so that you see how long it takes. Like, it counts up to however long it takes, and then counts down when the other team gets it.
I love it.
But to me, it solves everything, and it's still football. I don't want to make it like penalty kicks in soccer.
Right.
Football's football. But again, and it also solves the issue of they do not want players playing five quarters and then playing the next week because their analytics, league analytics show that would be bad because they're not going to be fully recovered by then.
All right.
I think it's great.
Rick in the Poconos has an idea, I think. Hey, Rick.
Hey, how we doing tonight?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
All right. I was giving you guys a ring. I had a really good idea for I thought would be a better overtime.
All right, go ahead. We just talked about one, but go ahead.
Yeah, I got one for you. I believe each team should get to touch the football, just like college, but you should start the ball at the opponent's 45-yard line. This way, you need a first down in order to be in range to a possible long field goal. And, you know, just go down the field like that.
You want to start at the 45?
The opponent's 45.
The opponent's 45.
Right.
Okay.
This way you need to at least get a first down, which would you get the first down, puts you at the other 45, which makes it a 57-yard field goal.
Yeah.
And it leaves your whole entire playbook open. If you start at the 25, you're limited.
Yeah, I like any solution. I don't think the NFL is more of a traditional thing. They would never do like what baseball did with put the runner on second base and extra. Like they're not ready to do something radical like that.
Yeah, that's.
But
that's,
I like it. Yeah, it's the college. Yeah,
this is just the college rule, but 20 yards back. They don't want to do the college rule.
This is he's moving it 20 yards back to make it a little.
It's the same thing. It's not football. There's no kickoff. There's no kickoff return. It's here. Yeah, place the ball somewhere.
It's put the runner on second base-esque.
Yeah, they're not going to do it for that reason. They don't like the college rule.
Depends anyway.
Yeah, all right, man. I mean, it's a suggestion. General knowledge for you is all-time passing leaders per team. All right. So if I give you the Buccaneers, give me two of the top three passing leaders.
All right. Let's see. Yeah, you gave me the wrong team here.
It shouldn't be that difficult.
The Buccaneers.
Man, you don't even have one of them? Brother, come on, man. You got to get at least one of them.
Again.
All right, Ty, what you got?
Well, it's got to be my guy, Vinny Testaverde.
Testaverde is second.
Is it DeBerg?
No.
Steve, not Steve DeBerg?
No.
Is it Jameis?
Yes, number one.
Who's number three?
Let's see if you can get it.
I'm not going to get it.
I mean,
Kansas State.
No, I'm not going to get it.
Black quarterback.
Is it, you talking about Doug Williams?
Nope.
I don't know.
Josh Freeman.
Ugh. Man, they had some bad quarterbacks.
Josh Freeman.
Yeah, Josh Freeman was not good.
Let's go to Mike Media. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Mike.
What's up, the crew?
How you doing, Mike? What's going on?
Good. I just loved what I heard from Ty about counting up to see how a team got its first possession and then counting down, leaving that much time on the clock to see if the other team could score. That's the best overtime rule.
It was the guy on social media put that in?
Dalai Lama.
Dalai Lama put that in there.
Nice that's job from the Holiness.
I was optimistic about what I heard from Kendrick Perkins, being a former teammate of Harden, and wondering if that probably won't happen until next year. Now, they were also talking about maybe filling some kind of a role this year at the deadline. I forget the date. Is it February 10th?
Yes.
Now, I just don't want to get rid of Maxey. I don't know who they could even give up.
No, they wouldn't give up Maxey in a minor deal. They wouldn't be giving up Maxey, I don't think.
So maybe Thibel and who for a scorer, you know? And I don't even know who's out there.
Well, that's why they pay him a lot of money to be a GM or the president of basketball.
Yeah, there you go. You
know, he's on the phone every day with people. So he knows who's available and who he wants.
And I had one more question, Mike. I heard it. May even have been on your show. I listen every day at work. Now, mind you, this was the first time any of us have ever seen a team go down the field in two plays from their own 25 to kick a field goal with 13 seconds. But propose that you get up on the receivers, Kelsey and what's the cheetah's name? Number 10.
Tyreek Hill.
You play 5 yards off. So now you're at the 30, and you just hold them, which is a 5-yard penalty.
Yeah,
and you waste the clock that way.
You know, we talked about that. Actually, came up. They could actually do that. That's a strategy. That's like akin to, you know, fouling a guy, and when you need 3 points and you foul him, he goes to the line for two.
Yeah, right.
I hear you. If you did that, they would probably obviously change that rule in the off season.
Yeah, well, they're not going to change it yet. And
no, I hear you. It would not have been a bad idea to waste 13 seconds.
Right. So,
all right, man. General knowledge question, last of the day. It is movies that have THE in front of them.
Okay.
Gifted baseball player damages stadium lighting with game-winning home run.
Now I'm the old tennis ball tire guy, and I waited till I heard it all. The Natural.
Da-da-da-da. Congratulations. Da-da-da-da-da. Makes me weep. Da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, well.
We didn't make it.
We got that. What do we get?
I have six.
Well, we said, what did we say?
7.1.
Had to get to 8.
Yeah. Well.
We should be at like 12.
Didn't happen today.
Didn't happen.
Very easy and disappointing. The audience is very disappointing. We'll take a break on the other side. We got sound off to close out today.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
Sound off. Are you going to be beefing with me? What is the hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh, man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now. Number 5 will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today.
Brought to you by Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Drytech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at Drytech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to drytechcorp.com.
Keep going. Sound off.
Already time for Sound Off 610-771-9705. That's the Sound Off line. We encourage people to use it and publish your message. Get it off your chest. You got a key thought. It may make the big show. It may make it on Sound Off. Let's see what we have.
So let me get this straight. Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, arguably the two greatest players, at least in the modern era, don't get a sniff of the Hall of Fame, but Big Sloppy does? Excuse me, wasn't he an admitted cheater? Big Poppy was a freaking cheater, and he's in the Hall of Fame? That's a disgrace.
Well, here's the thing. You might be right, but like there was not clear evidence that David Ortiz used. So his 500 home runs stand out as opposed to Barry Bonds, who we kind of all know used. It may be a splitting hairs, but and I agree with you. I think Bonds should be in. I think Clemens should be in. So that story thing never bothered me that much.
Yeah, what he got wrong is he's not an admitted cheater.
Yeah,
he's
they never got him.
But Barry Bonds was smart. He would have put out a marketing campaign just to get small head Barry Bonds into the Hall of Fame. Small head Barry Bonds is easily a Hall of Famer. Still probably a top 15, 20 player of all time. It's the big head Barry Bonds that screwed it all up. But they should put small head on a plaque and his pirate hat and put him in the Hall of Fame.
You know what? There's a lot of guys that use. Not a lot of guys that hit as many home runs as he did. So what's the difference? I don't care.
I think he should be in. I agree with you, Mike.
No offense to Flyers fans, but if you think that we need to get back to Flyers hockey, you're an idiot. No offense, no offense. And if I hear one more person ever say we need to get back to Flyers hockey, no offense, you're the biggest idiot ever. No offense, no offense. So moving forward, let's just never say that again because Flyers fans, you're the biggest idiots ever. No, no offense, no offense.
God,
what a man.
My God. Don't you know you have to get back to Flyers hockey? Come on. You need more hitting. You need more mucking. You need more dump and chasing.
Well, you left out grinding.
Grinding.
Gotta grind, too.
All right. Alongside wall. All right.
David Murphy has a column today for Embiid's sake. Simmons' deal must be great. Are you kidding me? This guy couldn't shoot over Seth Green. He's a national disgrace. He's only worth a role player on defense. In fact, he's a national joke. No team wants him.
Well, I'm glad you're plugged in. There's a lot of teams that want him, so yeah, you'd be inaccurate.
If Jalen Hurts played for the Cowboys, and all the fake Cowboys fans always bragged about he was a winner and he was a great leader of men, would we care about this? Or would we fear him? Or would we be happy to play against a quarterback that struggles to throw the ball?
You raise a good point. Yeah, he's a leader. He's a winner. I get it. You got to show me a little something. You got to show me skills before I get to that winner point.
As a Flyers fan, I bleed orange and black. I can't have mommy bleeding orange and black. It is time for new leadership. Drew's been a great player, but when your ship is sinking, it is time for a new leader. I know Drew's going to be gone soon. It's the way the business is, but it is time to have a new captain.
A new captain. Like, who's worthy?
Well, you know, his team is worthy. They're going to put it on Coots. Once they trade Jim, they're putting it on Coots. And Coots is the new leader. They're building that. You heard him today. Got a great player in Coots.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. This bleeding orange and black, I want you to bleed blue, orange, and silver. Because that's what I'm going to change it to. So, we don't need to be bleeding orange and black anymore. All right, let's close it down.
The best today of sound.
Brought to you by DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. DryTech Waterproofing Solutions is the leader in basement waterproofing. For water in your basement, cracks in your foundation, or mold remediation, trust only the experts at DryTech Waterproofing Solutions. Protect your home. Go to DryTechCorp.com.
I don't like them.
What are they?
Because I don't like
them.
Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
See you later.
All right, that'll do it for today. Our grand prize winner is Chuck Kelly. He wins a pair of tickets to see the Zac Brown Band August 26th at the BB&T Pavilion with the chicken fried steak and a good-fitting pair of jeans and a cold beer on a Friday night. Tickets are on sale at Ticketmaster.com. Stay tuned. Beers with Bob is coming up right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Devon Gibbons taking you through the evening on ABC Sports Philly. Stay tuned for What's Brewing. Everybody have a great rest of the night. Be safe out there. Talk to you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.